Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm here, man. Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To give a piece to the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat. The flash of me that'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive and motivate to the fact to see successful guests. Promote yourself, masturbate. BlogTalkRadio.com/TheRemix Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone out there all over the world listening in tonight. I want to welcome you guys to The Remix. I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue, and tonight, of course, is Sunday night, and you're live in The Remix. If you want to come on over and join us in the platform, we certainly welcome you guys to come do that. All you have to do is get yourself over. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TheRemix, all one word, and come on in. The chat room is open, and I see you guys in there making yourself at home. I see the Remix family filling themselves up in there. If you're a guest and you're out there and you're joining us for the very first time, let me be the first to welcome you to the Remix. Welcome you guys here and have you guys in the platform. So good to have you guys in here. If you're a guest and you want to participate in chat, all you have to do is click the button at the very bottom that says sign up. Tell us who you are. Come on in. And the Remix family is going to make you feel right at home. If you're out there listening and you want to call in, you can do that too. All you have to do is dial 646-652-2711, and that's going to get you into the Remix if you're in an international country. And we're going to give those international shots out as everybody get themselves situated here in just a little bit. I got some things I want to talk to you guys about. Before we get ready to start the show, so some some really good stuff to talk about. But what I want you to do is, if you're calling from an international country, very simple, dial the U.S. country code, and then 646-652-2711, and then come on in. The Remix family is going to make you feel right at home, and you can listen on the phone lines. You're going to want to do that tonight. Tonight, joining us here live in the forum, he is certainly not new to the Remix family. He has been a guest on the platform before. We have brother Ra Giva is going to be joining us. And tonight, we're going to be talking about thought processes of the secret mind. So really, really interesting chair here as we get ready to welcome brother Ra Giva. And he's going to be joining us here in the platform. We're going to do some coaching slash reading slash crazy mixed up stuff like we do on the Remix. So we'll be doing that towards the end of the show. As well as I want to invite you guys to go over to Facebook because this is one of the places where you can connect with myself as one of the guests on the Remix, along with Esther as well, who's also one of the hosts on the Remix. And Esther has actually posted some questions that Brother Ra Giva has given us tonight. And I see so many of you have already started to answer those questions. You can go over to the Remix family page and you can start to answer those questions because we're going to be talking about that subject, talking about your answers and what we can do to help support that tonight. So now I really, really want you guys to go over and check that out. I see some of you have already started answering some of the questions. I love it when we have the questions because it's an opportunity for you guys to express yourself, and it'll be great dialogue once we bring Brother Rakiba on so he can do his thing here in the remix tonight. So don't be shy. Get on over to the Facebook Remix Radio page. All you have to do is click like. You will see listeners from all over the world. They're going to be right there with you. And they're also going to be able to, you know, be able to connect with you over there as you get ready to answer those questions. And we can have a lot of fun. And also, I just want to say, okay, beautiful. Looks like we have a message that was posted up there yesterday on the Remix Radio page from Brittany. She's a first-time listener and was blown away about the show, about the doppelgangers. And just want to send a big shout-out to you. Welcome to the Remix family. We have droves of people, brothers and sisters, every day, over 2 million who join the Remix family group. And so it's always an honor to connect with someone joining the platform here. So don't be shy, you guys. Come on over. It's where all the action happens. It's where you're going to find myself, Esther, as well, hanging out for the show tonight. So we'll be corresponding with you guys right over here on Facebook in the Remix Radio, on the Remix Radio page, as you guys are putting up your questions and answering some of these questions, which we'll go over a little later in the show tonight. How's everybody doing? It's Sunday night, you guys. Can you believe it? It's Sunday night. It's so good to be here. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you guys, sharing this moment with you guys in the Remix. Good place to be. The Remix family is growing, and many great things are going to be for you guys to look forward to this year. I can't tell you. I'm so excited. I'm so excited with all of the things that are just happening and evolving as we continue. One of the things I want to do, I want to kind of get all of my little jokey jokes out the way. First of all, if you guys are in the chat room, and we'll just kind of use the chat room, the rest of you, you can raise your hand from all over the world. But I want to know, how many Patriot fans do we have in here? How many football Patriot fans do we have? If you're a Patriot fan, I want you to put a heart in the room, because I got a question for you guys tonight. Put a heart. Yeah, don't be shy. Come on. Put a heart in the room. Let me know your Patriot fans. I know we got some out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we got some Patriot fans out there. Well, I have a question for you guys. Well, first of all, yes, we're talking about football here. But let me just ask you Patriot fans a question. Why did your coach take off his ring? No, let me go back. Why did the owner of the Patriots, here's the riddle for this evening. Why did the owner of the Patriots take off his Super Bowl ring? Why did he take it off? Let's see who can answer this question. Why did the owner of the Patriots take off his Super Bowl ring? First of all, let me give you fellas some girl code. And sisters, you can kind of ride with me on this. You don't ever take off your jewelry to let anyone ever try it on. We won't even get into the woo-woo about how energetically that's just not cool to do. We won't talk about that, okay? But sisters know you don't ever take off your jewelry for anybody. So brothers out there that wear rings, that wear bracelets, maybe have a necklace, you don't take it off. Somebody says, hey, man, that's cool. Let me check it out. Let me wear it. Let me put it on my finger. You say, no, you don't do that. Okay? I just want to let all my brothers know, because I don't know if you guys know what went down, but I'm going to kind of school you on some of the things that went down. And I'm going to give you Miss Blue's version. So, therefore, we can go ahead and put some disclaimers out there, because this is going to be Miss Blue's version, just like I told you guys about the Game of Thrones. And you guys really love that interpretation. This is going to be Miss Blue's version on what happened. The owner of the Patriots got punked. He got punked like no other. What he did is, you know how sometimes we get in a position, we want to show off. We want to show off. Well, he was in one of those positions. You know, he's proud. The Patriots had, you know, got Super Bowl rings. So he had the Super Bowl ring on, and he was proud to say not only is he an owner, but he had the ring. So the president of Russia is chilling. You know, he don't like the U.S. anyway. I mean, that's not a secret. He really don't like the U.S. But anyway, you know, he's seen him, and he figured, you know, one man to the next man, I'm going to go ahead and flaunt a little bit. You may be in charge of a country, but I got something a little bit bigger than a country going on here with me and the Patriots. So he showed him his ring, and he said, check it out. Look at my ring. So the president, Russian president, said, wow, let me see that. Take it off. So he took the ring off, and he gave it to him. He put it on his hand, and he said, I could kill somebody with this shit, took the ring, put it in his pocket, and walked away. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he had the KGB with him. So when the Patriots owner tried to jump, he told him, go sit your bitch ass down, okay? We took your ring, and you're not getting it back. Talk about bullying. Talk about bullying. Now, check this out. This happened during the Bush administration. So he goes to Bush because he's like, I need some reinforcements. I need some help. So he goes to Bush and he says, check it out, Bush. I want you to know your boy, you invited me to this event. And your boy, yes, some gangster shit for real. He said, your boy, he stole my ring. Bush said, okay, I'm going to go get your ring back. No problem. Let me go over there and talk to him. They went, they exchanged words, he came back, he said, check it out, man, just say you gave it as a gift, because you can't get your ring back. He ain't going to give that shit back. So, that's right, Erica, Russia say, you're going to learn today, you see. See, because this is always, it always intrigues me about us and our American mindset, and we just don't have any kind of customs. We don't have any kind of thing that we hold true to. We don't even use our fucking intuition. And so I'm going to be bringing more stories in the media that's stupid as hell about people not using their damn intuition. So you're trying to tell me you see this man who runs a whole fucking country, okay? And he's telling people what time to take their ass to sleep, what time to wake up, whether or not they're going to flip upside down, or if they're going to be a doctor, and you think that you giving him a ring, and if he feels like he want to keep it, his ass ain't going to keep it? For real? You thought that? You thought you was bad enough to just say, give me back my ring, and that was good enough? It doesn't work that way. So, intuition. His intuition should have kicked in and said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not taking off my ring. You can see it from here. Everybody can see it. You don't see all these diamonds up in here? You don't see all the bling over here? No, I'm not taking it off. Well, as a result of it, he didn't get the ring back. Okay? And so now the media is really kind of punking his ass again. So they showing all these pictures of your boy walking around with the ring on. He done put it up in the damn museum talking about, yeah, These are some more of my treasures. I took some the little bitch ass in America, and I will be taking more. And now him and Obama got to talk. And they're working on all of these different treaties that are going on and all of these different things that are going on. And because, you know, they want Obama to bring us President Obama. They want him to bring us the damn ring. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? That's why tonight we're going to be talking about thought process. And we're also going to be talking about, you know, how to upgrade. You know, upgrade is something I've always loved. And we're going to be talking about that. Upgrading. That's right. He got the ring. He puts it in the museum when he wants. And then when he wants to sport it around, he puts it on. And I'm quite sure it is dinner time conversation about how he punked that ass and took that damn ring, and he's doing whatever the hell he wants. So, word to you brothers. Don't take your rings off to show nobody. See, sisters, we know that. That's one of the things our mama taught us. We know. I wear lots of gemstones, and lots of sisters, women come up to me and say, oh, that's so gorgeous. Can I see it? You sure can, right here on my finger. You're not going to get me to take off no ring and let you wear it, okay? Intuition. We got to start tapping in to all of this. We've got to do it. It's just some real dumb stuff going on there, okay? somebody said, what about them touching it? I'm kind of fickled about that, but I know that if you can come in my bubble, you see, then I know that anything that you do, it's cool with me. You understand? Because certain people can't even come near me. In fact, they little bitch asses run the other way. It won't even allow them to come into my cipher. They won't come. They'll make up any kind of excuse or whatever they got to say, but they'll go running the other way. So, you know, I'm not really worried about that as so much as that. But I know I'm not going to take it off and put it in your hand. No. The KGB got that ass and told him, go sit your bitch ass down. And he went back and sat down and then tried to run over to President Bush. We know Bush wasn't going to do nothing, okay? Bush told him, it's a gift, man. Consider that was a gift. You gave that to him, you see. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up. Actually, I couldn't wait to bring that up. My son finds all these crazy stories. By the way, something else that's in the media today that you guys may want to know, and I talked about how these cases would start to resurface themselves back up. Now, it's been about 17 years since Tupac made his transition. And right now what's happening is they are about to give him to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And so we know that that's a great accomplishment. You can read all about this in Euroweb. They have all of the latest information. It's amazing, brother, who runs that, by the way. But Tupac is receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but we'll be able to talk about that as well. So now, okay, we're going to continue on because we need to give some international shots out there. And also, we want to... do some things, and yes, that's how it goes. They gave him hell while he was here, and now they want to recognize him for being the star that he is. So you know how it is. You know, we know how this is. But The other thing is we do want to send some love and some light out there to Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela right now is in critical condition. And so we do want to send some energy out to Nelson Mandela as he goes through his transition here, as he's making his transition here. So love and light to him as always, as we continue. You're live in the remix, everyone, with your host, of course, Miss Blue. It's so good to see everyone in the house. Let's go ahead and give our international shots out because we still got to dance. We still got to do quite a few. Some really crazy stuff going on. But anyway, let's see. Mm-hmm. Let's see. It's always crazy stuff going on. So let's see. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull this up. We're going to have some fun tonight. Give some international shots out to all of our international listeners out there listening. Because it can be a challenge for you getting up, depending on what part of the world. So no matter what part of the world you're in, I just want you to have a great time. So here we go. We're going to give out some international shots out. You guys are doing the damn most tonight. So Italy's in the house. Egypt is in the house. Argentina is in the house. Malaysia, Spain is in the house. Barbados, Jamaica is in the house. The Netherlands is here. Trinidad is here. Germany is here. South Korea is in the house. The Cayman Islands is here. Canada, Australia, UK, always in the house. Big up. Much love to all of you out there. And also the U.S., Bangladesh is here. Aruba is here. Did I say Argentina already here? A couple of countries I cannot pronounce. Esther's not on board, so unless she tells you guys what they are, I don't know. And parts of Africa is in the house tonight. So good to you guys being here. So whether you're speaking Dutch, German, Spanish, Romania, what's this other language? Ooh, don't know what that language is. But all of you here, we just want to welcome you. And, of course, all parts of the U.S. is here. And it's so good to have you guys here. oh yes, you guys, I'm telling you, you know I'm bad with that. So we're going to have fun tonight. Brother Ron Giva is here. Love this brother, love his energy. So we're going to be getting it in. We're going to be getting it in. Yes. Welcome to the remix, everyone. We're going to get ready to dance tonight. I want to give birthday shots out because, you know, I got a message from Facebook saying that I think something like 100 and something of your friends are having birthdays this week. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's baby booming time again. We got that super moon. It's in high effect tonight. And you guys been out there throwing a lot of super sperm out there in the world. So we're going to have a lot of babies coming up. Just want y'all to know that. So just, you know, have fun, be safe. You know how it goes. Have fun, be safe. And so we're going to get ready to dance. We're going to listen to a little bit of Baby Blue. And don't forget tonight, the Kim orders go in for the Kim deck. So for those of you who want to get your Kim deck, this is the time question for Blue, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, to contact me. And, yes, I will be giving an announcement about all those emails I received. Oh, my goodness. I have not even read them all. But I have got your email, and they touched my heart, the ones I read. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. So here's a little bit of Baby Blue, and then we're going to get ourselves up. We're going to get ready to dance. We're going to welcome our guests. We're going to do what we do so well, so good, in the remix.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, you guys, so we're going to dance tonight. We're going to do a little throwback here for all of you people who know about the throwbacks. We're going to do a little throwback here tonight. Tonight we're going to be listening to Brother Ragiva as he comes on and talks to us about thought processes of the secret mind, understanding what that is. I want you guys to check out the questions that are over on the Remix Radio page and participate in that. That's going to be really great. We're going to be doing that. And, So we got lots of goodies going on, but get yourself up, get ready to dance. It's so good to be here, have you guys here live in the Remix.
This slumber, niggas from down underground, they hanging around the A-town, looking for a come-up, working from 9 to 5, just to get some change, so T-Mo can stay alive, not greedy and living lavish shit, but you can bet that when I do, nobody from my crew will I forget, if I start to get lost and come up on some change, I won't change, everybody know it down, it's not the same everyday life getting different, these laws got me ready to brawl, cause I follow me, so I still be slaying them fat pillows, so make them meet, each and every day, as I comb my city streets, sometimes I wish I never had been a part of this mess, cause the system got us fucked up. They put us to the test, women and men. If you black, you in. Food for the soul, listen to what I tell you. It don't matter, young or old. It's time we look up and do like we supposed. We killing each other over this bullshit and some clothes. We shot up in this world society with no place else to go. So how you feel?
Frustrated, irritated. Sometimes I don't know myself, I be too numb. Feel something sometimes, so I dig deep. Get into Cherokee, let my mind fly free into the wilderness so I can get this shit off my mind. That's why I be smoking that dank sometimes. It keeps me from snapping, keeps me calm, keeps my mind open, keeps me fun. The what I got to do, I'm in the studio to get my old bird back on the feet. Am I little bro with Statesboro? Am I little cuz Mark Twain? All my folk that hang with me when I was out in the trap, or when I was going through what I ever sold. Only God knows what I go through. So I get down on my knees. Sometimes I come home too tired to pray, but I get on my bed, lay on my back and meditate. Anyway, in the ceiling, the four walls, it's like cell therapy. Got nothing to do but write about my L-I-F-E, put it down on paper.
So what you feel? I'm here for today, motherfucker, another hour. It might be sour, never know my day, so I'm praying in the shower. Look up and thank the Lord for forgiveness. A witness to bad, I'm looking for good. In the Southwest, God bless my neighborhood. There's people killing in the streets to eat. The violent day is my only goal, and I said, that's to make it home. I'm not alone, someone's out to get me when I have enough shit wrong.
And she passed my mind for righteous you take, man. Got me by the loose of my pants. Got me on the curl and the traffic passing by. No question, I said nothing. Looking for the mutant to be bucking the law. Nah, man, give short of my shit. Close my mouth and I just feed me a G. It's a person who understands the plan. Can make no moves when you in the hands of the man. They got some new sweet down Peace Street. Left wing for the feds, right wing for the hard heads. Making more deals than buddy folks made with hearts fear. Somebody don't want my faith in this place for 96 shit slick. Call me clean, looking fresh. I'll be scratching at my chest under the order. Who? Yes, who? Ain't none iller than me, the one to one to your ass. No more life. What you gave is the past. Cause ain't no future. One to Miller, cap your case. Disgrace your fate. Make it seem to be safe. Ain't no place to run.
Sometimes I don't even know how I'm gon' eat. About $20 away from being on the street. Might see a nigga on TV, but hell, it's almost like I'm rapping for free. That little money be gone. God damn it, I'm gone. Gotta help keep the heat and the lights on. It would be nice to have more, but I kinda like being poor. At least I know what my friends here for. I wanna lie to you sometimes, but I can't. I wanna tell you that it's all good, but it ain't. This nigga's hurting and uncertain about if they gon' make it or not. That's how we got niggas killing, feeling like they coming up off a little dope they sold. You get some gold, but we won't make it as a whole. Cause without you, there'd be no me. And without no unity, there will never be any happiness. You can smoke a pound of this, and it still won't relieve your stress. God bless my thought process.
Now, as an outcast, I was born, wasn't warned of the harm that would come to meet me like MetLife, but yet life done sent me through a lot of ups and downs like it ain't nothing, like elevators, but I ain't the one that's pushing the buttons. I got off at the 13th floor when they told me that it wasn't one. They said it skipped from 12 to 14, still smoking, still drinking. No, I'm sitting on the link at 4 a.m. thinking that in reality the world is like a ball full of players. We trapped off in this maze with walls made up like it's an only prayer. It's the tightest game that you can have. The devil's taking a swing, that mind is spraying the broken glass. But my crystal ball sees the pistol fall to the wayside. Nobody would die in cops and robbers when we used to play ride. Huh. Only thing we feared was William Wayne. Never thought about hitting licks or slanging cane. Did not think I'd be the one to give into abortion. Label me murderer because my ass is scorching. Hot from the Glock that sits under my seat. Yeah, it's real fucked up that my folks come to get me. And it's like that. Yeah. And it's like them.
All right, you guys. Peace and greetings, everyone. That was the Goody Mob. You guys could hear that. The Goody Mob there talking about thought process, what we're going to be talking about here live tonight in the remix as we get ready to bring on our very, very special guest tonight. Joining us here live in the forum is Brother Rob Giva. I want everyone to give him a big welcome and welcome him to the platform here tonight. So we're going to go to the phone lines tonight. Let's see. I believe I have Brother Rob Giva on the line with me. Peace and greetings.
Peace and greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, certainly can. Can hear you loud and clear. Peace and greetings
to you, Brother Rob Giva. Peace and greetings to you, too, Sister Blue. Miss Blue. Glad to be online. Glad to be online, honey.
Yes, yes. And so good to have you here with us here live tonight in the forum. We're going to be talking about thought processes of the secret mind tonight. And so everyone is here really just ready to hear everything that you're going to be talking about with us tonight. But I do want you to give, was that a smoke detector I hear? Yes. But we're gonna go ahead and let you give the introduction to everybody in the platform who may not be familiar with you and your work, and tell them a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to.
Okay, first of all, I want to say hello to the Remix family all over the world. Thank you for the support that I've received from the last few times I've been on the show. I want to thank my team. When I say team, because, you know, we are part of a collection of people who work to try to make things better, and we're really just doing our job. Brother Bilal, Miss Blue, Brother Jafar, Brother Norris are here, my brothers, blood brothers, and so many other people, Brother Wali, who has taught and trained me. And what I've been doing for the past, 20-something years has been what I used to say that I used to say that I was teaching people. Then I realized I woke up from that dream, the idea that I was teaching people, and recognized that I really was just helping people to remember what they already knew about themselves, and that there was really nothing that I could really teach people about who they are, but just help them to wake up to the reality of it. And so, you know, I started becoming more effective at what I did because of that reality, because of that awakening within me. So I would say for the past 10 years, you know, clear, I've been working with people around three basic offers. One, teaching people, helping people to understand how to have a new conversation. As I travel around the world, I find that people are stuck in old conversations, talking about the same thing over and over again and not making any real progress in life. So one of the things I offer in my coaching is helping people to discover how to have a new conversation. And the next thing is confidence like never before. And that's my second offer, to give people the tools to be able to develop confidence in themselves like they never had before. And because, you know, when we had confidence as children, we weren't conscious of how we had it. We were born with it, and we rode with it until this world causes us to doubt ourselves and we lose confidence in ourselves, and then we have to have it restored. And it's a journey to have your confidence restored back to what it was when you were a child. For most of us, we were very confident as children. It came so natural to us. And the third thing that I offer, so part of my offering, is taking people on this journey, a 30-day journey that helps them to discover what their purpose is in 30 days or less. Matter of fact, I'm so bold with it, I say in 30 days or less, I help you to discover what your purpose is, or I give you your money back. Because what I've discovered is if a person has done a certain amount of work in their lives to discover who they are, then they give you all the tools that are needed, all the clues that are needed to help them see what they're here for. And I don't really call it a purpose. I call it an offer, that all of us come here to offer something. And when we get clear about what we come here to offer, we begin to explode into our lives and begin to aggressively live it to the fullest and do what we came here to do. So all I'm doing is doing my job. And, I'm so thankful to be able to do my job and that I have people that listen to me just like there are people that I listen to. Like I listen to Ms. Blue. I listen to Bilal. You know, it would be hard for me to do what I do if I didn't have people to listen to that I knew could see things differently than I did. So it's important that you put yourself in a relationship with people who can reflect back to you angles that you can't see, because we all have blind spots. And essentially, you know, in a nutshell, that's what I do as well. I help people see their blind spots as people help me see mine.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so glad that you said that. I do want to let you know, I hear the beeping of the smoke detector there. I just want to let you know that. So I don't know if you can hear it, but that's just kind of one of those things, you know, our house, our sacred spaces have a way of speaking things to us. So I know it's going to be a very, very powerful share here. So if you could maybe move into, I don't know if you can move into another room or another space.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you need me to move into another room, you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you
okay,
hear
so
the...
The beeping.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about where you were.
Oh, no.
I apologize. I thought you were talking about where you were. I was like, okay.
No, the
okay,
smoke detector is there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a different room now.
All right. Beautiful, beautiful. All right. So, well, we are definitely here. I know one of the things that you said is that you want to talk about you really share with people how to begin to have new conversations. So let's start that out right here. And we have the questions, a lot of the questions that you sent me, the six questions you sent. And we have those questions up for people to start responding to. And some have. So we'll read those throughout the show. But for now, we'll go ahead and let you start with your new conversation and showing us these things that you want to begin to talk about today.
Well, you know, just recently I was invited to speak to a group of 100 monks in San Francisco who met from around the world, and it brought me in to talk about exactly what I'm getting ready to talk about now, this whole idea of having a new conversation. And so what I do is I help people to set it up. And so one of the first things that I talk about is this thing that's often misunderstood. And that is this very simple thing about respect, what respect is, what it's rooted in, and how easy
right.
it is for us to disrespect each other. And it sets up a situation where we can't have a new conversation because the respect is not in place. And this is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
When people talk about respect, what we're actually talking about is that if I say to you that, Ms. Blue, you're disrespecting me, what I'm saying to you is that you are superimposing your experience onto mine.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're mm-hmm. superimposing your experience onto mine, you are violating me. And the reason why that's a disrespect is because if you notice something, all your life, You know, if you were in a room with a million people, you would discover that not a single one of those million people have had the same experience as you. That each human being has a unique experience, and none of us ever experience the same thing.
That's
so
right.
Respect is based on the principle that because we never will experience what anyone else has experienced, that every experience must be honored if we're in a relationship with someone. You can't use your experience as a standard for my experience, or use your experience as a standard for me on how I should live, because we all going to have our own experience anyway. So one of the first things that has to happen in a relationship where people are talking about the same thing over and over again is that this code of understanding must be entered into play, that we must acknowledge in your mind and become consciously mindful of the fact that you cannot experience what no one else has, and neither can they. Now, that sets up a whole new paradigm if you look at a person knowing that they cannot have your experience. So you can stop trying to force your view on other people's view. And what that does is sets up a situation where now we're ready to do something that a lot of us struggle to do, and that's listening. I mean, I remember we were talking about it earlier today.
Oh, yes.
And
the hardest thing.
Yes. And because of something that you said to me, Ms. Blue, that makes it so hard, is that people do not apply it to themselves first.
Mm-mm.
And one of the first things I say is, look, you got to learn to listen to your voice. You got to learn to respond to your intuition. You have to learn to respond to the intelligence that you have within yourself and when it tells you to do what it tells you to do. Because, see, a lot of us, especially in the work that I do, I work with a lot of leaders, people who are in positions to where they're coaching other people. The majority of people I work with coach or lead people themselves. But you will find that the advice that they give to other people, they don't follow themselves because they don't listen to themselves. Not just hear their voice, but listen to it like they know what they're saying has worth and value. So I know, because a long time for me, I had been doing this work, and I really didn't listen to myself. I wanted other people to listen to me, but I didn't find my voice or what I had to say valuable enough for me to listen. But I was going all around the world getting other people to listen.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just was going to kind of touch on the respect thing, because the number one thing is so many people, when it comes to respect, that's something that people want, but people don't want to give. It's a struggle. It's a very big struggle with people. This is something I talk to the spirit guides about. Everybody will say, I want respect, but they don't want to give it. That's the hardest thing that is being reciprocated amongst humans is respect.
Yes.
Everybody
we disrespect
wants it when it's for them, but they don't want to give it to anyone else.
Right, and it's because we have a hard time giving it to ourselves, and this is what I mean. You know, from my experience, what we struggle with is the uniqueness of ourselves. Because, see, if we accept our uniqueness wholeheartedly, then it would be natural to understand that other people are unique and they can't have your experience because they're unique. But we struggle to accept our own uniqueness, so we disrespect ourselves on a daily basis, which makes it easy for us to disrespect other people. And we don't even think about it.
It almost comes natural
to us.
That's right.
Yeah, it almost comes natural. And you know, I know for years I struggled with it, because in this whole realm of being, quote-unquote, a teacher or someone who prides themselves on having some sort of wisdom or having some sort of knowledge, we run into a lot of frustration with thinking that people are supposed to be doing a certain thing the way we think they're supposed to be doing it. And the reality is they can't do it like you see they should do it. Because they don't have the experience, they don't have the background, never. So to go into a person's life, to be invited into their life and say, I want you to help me, the first thing you got to realize is I'm working for you. I'm working for you. I'm working that you have the experience that you want to have. And so what I'm going to do is help you get clear about how to have the best experience you want. And so and what I found is that is the reason why people get stuck in these old conversations, because take, for example, this is how I usually ask the question about listening. I said, how many people have a girlfriend or, you know, somebody in their life that when they see the number show up on a caller ID of the phone, you cringe. Your face cringes because you're like, oh, that's them again. Damn, I got to talk to them again. what they want this time. We got a whole thing that we play out in our head about that person. And the reason why we respond like that to that person is because we think we know what they're going to say already. We've heard it before. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say nothing new. They're going to say the same thing.
Right.
Now, here's the kicker, Ms. Blue, is that mm-hmm. it's possible that they are saying the same thing, but it's highly probable that you are listening to the same thing no matter what they say. That inside
That's
your head,
true.
You got a conversation plan that the minute you see this person's name on the call ID in your phone, that recorder goes on in your head. And you think that's what they're saying, but they're not actually saying what you're hearing. But you're hearing it in your head thinking that you're hearing it from them. And you
mm-hmm.
haven't heard what they said
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
That happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time. Happens
it
with
does.
Our children.
It does.
Yeah. Well, we have conversations stuck in our head about our children. So when our children are talking to us live, we're not listening to the live conversation. We're listening to the recorded conversation thinking that we're listening to the live conversation. Because if I'm listening to a conversation in my head while you are talking, then technically I'm not listening, I'm hearing.
That's right.
And so
that's right.
And so what's happening is I'm not able to be present to the life in front of me or the life I'm on the phone with, you know, because so listening is like the doorway to presence. If you want to become fully present, you have to listen. And then what people do is they tell you where to come into their lives so that you can be most effective. But if you don't listen, you try to go in where you think you should be. And where you think you should be in their lives is not where you need to be.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
mm-hmm.
so we have a foundation of respect. If I can see and know that you are unique and you're not going to experience what I'm going to experience, we're not going to have this. But we can share our experiences through communication, but we're still not going to have the same experience. Then if I could listen, and what I mean by that is this, if I could project my listening onto your voice as though my life depends on it, keeping in mind that every time a conversation in my head pops up while you're talking, I got to put it down. I got to bring it back down to zero and then refocus, reproject my listening back onto your voice. And I got to do that as often as I can until I learn to do it naturally, until I learn how important it is to listen. And, you know, I've been, for the past 13 years, I've been doing this training called Undoing Racism. And the organization is called the People's Institute. They've been doing this training called Undoing Racism for 30 years. Very profound process. And it really brings out a lot of emotional pain in people when you go through this process. So, but the way it's facilitated, you have to listen to everybody in the room. So I came from being a lecturer, somebody who get on the rostrum and spit fire without anybody interrupting me. My ego was off the chain in that regard. And then the universe took me and made me a facilitator of something that I couldn't, where as you're facilitating, you can't say two words without people interrupting you. So people are constantly interrupting you with questions. Well, what about this? And what about that? And I said, man, I don't like doing this. It was the most uncomfortable thing I could go through in the first few years of doing it until I understand what the universe is trying to get me to see, that until you learn to listen, you ain't getting nothing done. Because all you're doing is bringing what you already cooked up already to people, and you ask them what they want to eat. So that's what
mm-hmm.
I've been doing all my life,
mm-hmm.
cooking up a meal without asking people what they wanted to eat or what they needed to eat,
mm-hmm.
what was their life calling for. So I learned to listen. Very painful, very painful. But for me it was because I didn't like that. I didn't like to listen. You know, I like people listening to me but not me listening to them. So
no.
I learned to listen.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, connect this with the thought process. And how does communication suffer from this?
Oh,
connect this to the thought process.
That's a beautiful question because, see, like you talk about the secret mind, right? And
mm-hmm.
I look at this idea of the secret mind is that I have thoughts that I don't want to share with you. I have secrets about myself that I want to keep secret. But there's some things I want you to know, or I think you should know, or I'd like for you to know, but I don't know how to convey it. Now, here's
right.
how listening plays in with that. What often happens is that I'm in my secret mind while you're talking to me, and I'm having a conversation in my head about other things pertaining to things that have nothing to do necessarily with what you're talking to me about, and you asking me to listen. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretending like I'm listening to you, but I'm in my secret mind. And I'm coming to conclusions like, I ask people all the time, I say, okay, if you're going to have a challenging conversation, let's say if you're married and your wife or your spouse calls you on the phone and say, look, we need to talk. And you're like, oh, shit, damn, here we go again. So what you start doing is you start creating the conversation in your head before you get there. You start going over what you're going to say. Now, all this is happening in your secret mind. You're having a premeditated conversation, and you're going to play out the role that the other person, you think the other person is going to play. Like, if they say this, then I'm going to say that. And when they say that, then I'm going to let them have it. So you're almost like creating a jousting match in your head, in your secret mind. You're playing all this out. That is what happens. When you meet with the person live and in concert, they start talking. They say two words, you've already exploded. And the other person trying to figure out, what happened? Here's what happened. In your secret mind, you've been having a conversation for about an hour in advance. So your emotions have been built up from having this conversation. Now you're so far off key from the reality that you have to make together, because if you're in a relationship, you make the reality together. If you create this in your secret mind without that person having a part of it, then you're creating an illusion that you're going to be reacting to that's going to have a detrimental impact on the reality of the relationship. So,
that's a great, very great. I want to kind of pause here for just a moment so we can kind of examine this a little bit closer. Everybody out there listening can really be able to follow where you are with this. Now, here's one of the things I want to kind of put on the table for you. As human beings, we have, on average, maybe 10,000 thoughts, something like that, in an hour. So, it's kind of impossible to even know what you're thinking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Two, to know exactly what thought you're having, thinking is a part of the natural process. So what are some of the steps that you recommend for people when you're dealing with them on how to be able to not allow this process to go into the secret mind, to not allow it to go in there? Because there are constantly thoughts that are going in there. Even at this particular point right now, as I'm talking to you, you're listening to this, you're processing this, and you're in the position where you're getting ready to respond. That is going on simultaneously. This is happening all at the same time.
Right. It's happening because, we have been socialized to practice what we're going to say far more than how we're going to listen. So we have a muscle that's bigger than the other muscle. Like, for example, we look at communication. And we say, if I say to you that two-thirds of our communication is listening and one-third is talking, but our talking muscle is twice as big as the listening muscle. So what happens is the voice inside our head is talking all the time, talking, wants to talk, wants to talk. And it's gotten that big because we have our listening muscle is so small. So we got to learn to practice listening. Now, in the beginning, it's very, very difficult. But as you learn to do it, like if you say to me, I need to talk to you, then I know the minute you call me and say that to me, this is the conversation I'm going to have with myself before I talk to you. I got to prepare myself to listen. How I'm going to listen to Ms. Blue? I got to get my mind right. I got to keep my mind open, and I got to really focus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a conversation with myself, but I'm having it about how I'm going to give you undivided attention. And so I do that as a preparation that when I get to talking to you, if there is, when the voices come up, because they don't come up just like you just said, then what I'm conscious, I'm mindful of, refocusing my attention back to your voice. And I keep doing that, and what happens is I end up getting more out of the conversation than I would have gotten if I never had reminded myself that I have to listen a certain way to you, that I have to prepare myself to listen, that you are coming to me for listening. Here's one of the things that I discovered. I did a thing when I was in Iowa with a large group of school teachers, and I asked them to tell me what happens to a child who is not listened to. And every negative behavior that you see in the school, they put on the board. And I was like, wow, here it is. You're saying that when a person is not listening to, we give birth to all these negative behaviors. Because all of us, at the end of the day, are a voice wanting to be heard. And so we sit and talk to each other, but we do very little active, or what some people say, conscious listening, where we are constantly going from the voices talk, put the voices down, focus, put the voices down, focus. Because anytime you're doing that, you are out of the realm of the reality. The minute I start talking to myself about what you're saying, like when you were talking to me just now, you know, the little voice in the back of my ear was trying to come up and talk. I was like, no, I was focusing intentionally on your voice because I wanted to get what you were saying. I wanted to be present to what you were saying. And so it's an exercise. It really takes muscle to focus that listening. And it's just that we have not been taught that. We have not been taught it. We don't value listening, even though every single one of us want to be listened to. And if we're not listened to, we talk all the damn time. That's how you know a person hasn't been listened to adequately. Either they haven't listened to themselves or somebody else hasn't listened to them as a parents or whatever. It's because they talk all the time. You come into contact with them, they talk all the time because they want listening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like a big vitamin. You know, they have a listening deficiency. They want some listening. Listen to me, please. But people have to learn to listen to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's no magic wand to this. You know, it's not a button you could press or some kind of words you can just say and all of a sudden the person is going to start listening. It is a struggle. And I'm telling you that the reason why it is such is because our talking muscle is bigger than our listening muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be the other way around.
Tell us the steps.
Well, I told you the first step. The first step was about respect, and because that sets it up. That sets up the atmosphere for why I need to listen. See, if I think that my experience is the experience and that I'm getting ready to communicate with you to convey to you that my experience is the experience, I'm not going to listen to you. But if I know that my experience is my experience, and your experience is your experience, when you start sharing your experience, now I have all the reason in the world to listen because your experience is something I'm not going to have. So the closest I'm going to get to it is to be able to listen to it. Okay, that's the first thing. Then the second thing would be honesty. Because we're talking about having a new conversation. Now, here's the struggle. This is how I define honesty. I say honesty is telling the truth about yourself that you struggle to tell to those people you struggle to tell it to. Because they see that some people, we ain't got no problem with being honest. They don't know nothing about us. We feel comfortable with just saying anything to them because they don't know nothing about it. But there's some specific people that we've attracted in our lives that when it comes to them, we struggle with being honest. We struggle with telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like pulling teeth. And because those people represent our test, our real breakthrough, our real opportunity to come out of the secret mind, to be set free from the bondage that oftentimes comes with the secret mind, because, you know, how they say in the Bible, you know, you should know the truth, and the truth just sets you free. They really didn't say what it's going to set you free from, but it sets you free from that mind that many of us are stuck in, because every time we tell something that's untrue, we create a falsehood in our head that creates like a maze that we get stuck in. And we have to remember what lie we told or what untruth we told, navigate around it, to get back to reality. So the more we are dishonest, the more maze we create in our head, or what some people call morass. You know, it's just like that, M-O-R-A-S-S. Like morass. Morass, you create in your mind to have to go around. It's like being in quicksand. And so it gets harder and harder to communicate clearly to people. So being honest becomes a definite struggle, and that is connected to people struggling to listen. Because here it is.
So why do you think we lack the confidence to do this? Because that's what we're really talking about. Why do you feel people lack the confidence to do this?
We lack the confidence to do it because we've lost the nerve to be ourselves. We live in a world that makes you being unique, like, suspicious. Like, there's something wrong with you if you're going to be your unique self. And so we get so many messages that we're not good enough, that we're not pretty enough, we're not tall yeah. enough, smart enough. There's so many messages we get on a daily basis that as human beings, we don't make the mark. There's something wrong with us. There's something missing, and we have
yeah.
believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're afraid to go test what the world has gotten us to believe. So instead of challenging
mm-hmm.
it and you know, proving that the world knows what the hell it's talking about, they don't have a
that's
damn
right.
clue. But that we are being set up like rats in a, you know, or mice in a cage to do whatever people tell us to do. Advertisers, guess why there's so much advertisement almost every other second on television, radio, and whatnot, that's constantly reminding you that you need something, that something is missing from you. So you're constantly
yeah.
looking on the outside. So it generates a fear in us of fully expressing our unique self. So everybody's like,
mm-hmm.
well, I want to be sure that I'm doing it right. And so we really lose our nerve in being ourselves. And because, look, when we lie because we are afraid. I don't care how what kind of poker face
yeah.
you put on. We
That's
always
right.
lie because we are afraid. Because if you got real confidence, you're going to tell the truth.
That's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
plain and simple. We're gonna tell the truth if we have
mm-hmm.
confidence. And so when I talk about that whole idea of lying too, it's connected to what confidence really is. Because what confidence really is basically a healthy view of yourself.
Yes.
Internally and
that.
Externally.
Yes.
So
yes.
if I have a healthy view of myself internally and externally, then I see no reason to leave anything out about myself. Matter of fact, it would
mm-hmm.
be offensive to me that if you asked me something about me and I communicated to you and I intentionally left out things about myself, that would mean that there's something about myself I'm embarrassed of. There's something
right.
about my reality I haven't taken ownership of. A person who has a healthy view of themselves never does that.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Because it's an offense. I got to bring my whole self. Why would I leave my beautiful self behind? Why would I leave any part of my beautiful self behind? We leave parts of ourselves behind because we think we're inadequate. We think there's something missing from it. And you
yeah.
know, and it has a lot to do sometimes with our childhood, too. Messages we got about,
of
you
course.
Know, something
yeah.
being wrong with us. Yeah. Yeah. We carry that
mm-hmm.
on. And then
yeah.
it becomes a habit. Being dishonest becomes a habit. You know, like you ask a child, did you eat those cereal? And he says, No, I didn't.
And
he's like, no, I didn't. And if you had a camera on in the house, you could see him eating the cereal. But for some reason, he's afraid. He's afraid because he's been taught somewhere that he shouldn't have access to everything he wants. So he felt he got to lie to have access to it, which is a part of, you know, we learn to do that. We learn
yes.
to.
That's a learned behavior, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We learn to convince ourselves that we're not supposed to have something. And then. You know, and then when we go out into the world, we feel like we've created a scenario where we feel like we have to lie to have it. Like a lot of people hide and lie to themselves about being what they being what they desire. So they have a real desire,
mm-hmm.
but they don't feel confident enough to go be what they desire out in the open. So they sneak around to be with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
and you
true.
See that so much. You see that so much. People sneaking around to be what they desire when. You know, if you had confidence, if you had a healthy view of yourself, you would understand how important your desires are to you having
yes.
a fully lived life.
To you. That's right.
Yes,
that's
to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm,
so what it does is it sets us up to live for other people. So, you know, most of us are living for other people. And the people that we're living for don't have a clue that we're living for. Them.
No, and don't care about it. They don't even care. They don't even care. They don't even care. They don't even care. Tell me a good example, and I know you can probably think of hundreds, but give a good example of people living for other people.
Oh, you know, a good surface example is that, you know, take every day, a person may get dressed, right, and they, you know, and they put on their very best clothes, and inside their secret mind, they're thinking how people at work are going to see them, how they're going to be like, ooh, that girl got that on, boy, she wore that, right? She go to work. She go to work, And if she could hear what they are thinking, and she recognized that they had a thought, they have not a single thought about her and what she had on, she'd be so disappointed. You know what I'm saying? You could have like a some kind of device to go into people's head, and you're like, the dude sitting next to you that you think is really looking at you and sizing you up, he's thinking about, damn, I got to pay them damn bills. Damn, this damn car note that came in.
He's not even thinking about you.
No, but you did all of this work to get ready, and you did it because you were motivated, because you will want to have an impact on people.
Yes, yes.
And you wasn't thinking about having the impact on yourself.
That's right. And you know, this is played out on many different levels. We see this played out through people's, through their actions, their body language. We see that. We see it being played out with people, particularly those things online. We see these things being played out online. People do it through personas. They do it through their behavior of how they talk. You know, one of the things most people, how they speak and act to people in these social media sites, in public, they would never be caught dead acting like that. But that's how they act. You know, because they're online, so, you know, hey, you know, I get to be disrespectful. I get to say all kinds of things, and I get to do all of these things, you know. And they are acting this way, you know. So you can see these things, especially with social media coming up, because this has also been a big influence. Another thing that I've seen just amongst younger population, I've seen it among older, but younger population, is text messaging. People say to you in text that they ask would not have the guts to pick up the damn phone and tell you. Oh, but they get real jazzy with your ass in text. But you talk to them on the phone or you see them in person, they don't have anything. They don't have absolutely nothing to say. You see.
That texting is almost crippling. Because you know, we develop enough habits to do that, and you're right. The things that we say in text that we wouldn't say in person, and it's taking away that, you know, a lot of that human connection, but it's furthering the lack of confidence people have, because, you know, we can do that without, you know, without being present, so our view don't come into play. Because, you know, the first part of the view is, you know, in this world, it's physical, but it's connected to this, this internal view we have of ourselves, this question that we have answered, who am I? Who am I really? Or who do I think
That's
I
right.
am, more importantly?
Or who do I think you are. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, who I think I am. And so that comes into question every time you communicate with people. It's in the background of your head, who you think you are. And if who you think you are is powerful, not ego-driven, but powerful in terms of a natural way, then you communicate with integrity, you communicate with honesty, because you don't want who you think you are to be messed up. You feel what I'm saying?
I can definitely feel that. We're getting some questions, lots of conversation going on. But I want you to speak on this for us for a minute, Brother Raghava. If you can talk about, what do you see that social media did for confidence? For people with no confidence, what did social media do for them?
For some people, I think it a lot. You know, I know for me, because I wasn't a social media guy. What it did for me in terms of, it allowed me to reconnect to some people that I broke out of connection with. All right, so that's believe it or not, that's connected to confidence, and I'm gonna tell you why I say that. Because, you know, I became disconnected to so many people who were instrumental in helping me develop my life. So me reconnecting with them and being able to share what I've been doing was like a way to show them that, you know, the influence they had on me was a positive one. So that's one way. But, you know, in another way, I think there's a lot of positive things that social media has done for building our view for ourselves, because you look online, there's a lot of positive things people are saying online.
Yeah, I know, but did you need social media to do that, though? You don't really need social media to do that.
No, I mean, you really don't need it. But in terms of, you know, I always try to look at, I follow the rule, the first rule, and that is respect. The idea that when something is created from a different experience. an experience that I got to try to understand. And I try to understand it first through my experience, but I first say, okay, let me look at this without doing harm first before I really can understand it. So I see a lot of people have connected behind it, but a lot of people have become more disconnected because they became connected, because of how they became connected is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no agreement of integrity.
Explain that because. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like for example, when I facilitate these conversations around very tough subjects like racism and sexism and you know, homophobia and all that stuff, before I start facilitating the conversation, I have to set up some agreements first, because there's some secret stuff in people's minds you really don't want to know. And I don't want you to bring it out, because you're not going to be responsible for it. And the reality is you're going to throw it up in the room and just to disrupt the whole thing, because you have not put yourself under some type of discipline. So if we're going to have some progress, we're going to make some progress, if we're going to have a conversation, then we need to have some rules that we abide by so we can have some integrity to have this conversation. Social media, there's none of that. It's like a free fall. You say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it, so there's no accountability. And when there's no accountability to something, it does not do relationships good. It does more harm to relationships than good to relationships, because if you have no accountability, and let's say it this way, if somebody could make demands on you, but you can't make equal demands on them, then you have an abusive relationship.
Social media is set up
to have abusive relationships. That's why a lot of you see these kids killing themselves, committing suicide because
that's
of what somebody said. It's wide open because there's no accountability to it.
That's right. Yeah, that's so true. Good point. It is. Social media does set those parameters a lot of times where there is an abusive relationship, because people feel like they don't have to be accountable and they can say whatever they want, however they want. They can come and disrespect you, and yet you're not supposed to say anything. So it is that one-sidedness. Talk about disconnecting from connecting. You kind of mentioned that as you were going on.
Well, you know, the idea is like we look like we're connecting, right? But if we have not established, like, you know, what's the whole reason behind us connecting, then we could do more to disconnect. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. There's a few people from back home that I hadn't, you know, talked to in years. So, you know, I connected with them, all right? And I was having, you know, the conversation I had, and they, like, tripped out on the conversation because they wanted to talk about some, I mean, effed up stuff. I'm like, and they were, like, talking about some stuff that's, like, so far in left field. I was like, damn. So I got connected to get disconnected. Because I realized I don't want to connect with them.
That's
shit,
right.
I don't want to connect.
That's right.
They are shit. I am not interested in making that connection. You know, it
right.
was all in my head. I was like, you know, we went to school together, and man, I get brand new. Just like I remember one time I was doing some work and I'd been brought in to do some work in Angola, the penitentiary in Angola, in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
that they call the Geritol prison. So I'm in there working with some brothers, you know, locked down for life. And I'm doing my thing, and I'm all naive. I'm young and just starting. And when it was over, brother said, "Man, you sure, boy, you was hitting it, boy. You was hitting it, brother, right, Gilbert?" He said, "But let me tell you something, bro. Some of us belong in here." I was like, no, brother. Look, let me look at you straight in the eye and tell you, some of us belong in here. You do not want us on the street." And he said, "If you're going to go to any other prison and talk to any other group, you better know that. We all don't belong out on the street because some of us have chosen this life for ourselves." That was like, whoa. I had to come out of my fairy tale. Because what he was telling me was an experience I was not aware of, but the reality is that some people are choosing that life.
Yes. Oh, yes. I would say more than some. But yeah. More than some. Yeah.
Right.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. I do want to take this time right now for you to give out your information for those who want to contact you for a coaching session or to find out more about your work and just different things that you're doing and how they can connect with you. I put all of the information in the show notes, but I want you to go ahead and give that information out to everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me say this, because before I give the number, please don't call me unless you're serious. because I do not have time for folk that's just, you know, playing. If you serious mm-hmm. about wanting to take your life to a whole nother level, 877-229-8880, or I could be reached by my email address, which is fatherrightgiver, FatherRightGivah at gmail.com. My website is down right now, so I'm not giving my website address because I'm doing some reconstruction on it. But once again, 877-229-8880. But only if you're serious, because I've got an opportunity to work with some people from around the world. And for the most part, they've been people who are serious about taking their life to another level, people who are ready to live. Because if you're not ready to be honest, don't call me. Because there's nothing I can do for
right.
you if you're not ready to be honest. It's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Mm. I said it with all sincerity because, you know,
yes.
if you're working in somebody's life and you invite me into your life, there's nothing I can do for you. You are doing it for you. I'm just facilitating what you're going to do for you.
Oh, yeah. So true.
I'm not putting on the cape. I'm not putting on the cape and flying over it. You know, I'm not flying over your life with a cape. I'm helping you to see what you couldn't see. But once you see it, the responsibility is on you to take it to another level.
Yes.
I'm just being honest. I try to be cornbread, mm-hmm. you know, so people say, well, Daniel, because my daddy used to say all the time, boy, make it cornbread. And Make it cornbread. Keep it simple and honest. Don't put on no
yes.
big ass. Cause I'm a little country boy from Abbeville, Louisiana. I came from very humble origins. I've never forgotten where I come from.
Right,
so when I coach
right.
people, I don't try to be other than who I am. I know that the hand I'm playing with is the best hand I could ever have, and I ain't trying to change it. So when I come to the table,
right.
I come as I am. I talk like I'm from New Orleans. Sometimes I use some of that Louisiana slang. Sometimes people don't understand me. I say, if it bothers you, baby, I'm not the one for you.
Right.
But if you really want to get to that next level, I'm the one for you, baby. I'm the one for you.
That's it. That's the one. All right, you guys, Brother Rock Giver. All right. I wanna talk about another question first, and this is something that's very close to my heart. So I'll ask you, and then maybe we'll go over to the Remix radio page, and we'll kind of go through some of the questions there and just kind of see those who've answered the question. But what was some of the reasons that you started this work? What was your main reason for coming into your work?
That's a beautiful question, and I love to share it, because when I was born, I was born with a birthmark under my right eye that looks exactly like a black eye. And every time I went outside, people ridiculed me about it. The kids called me names. I was black IP. I was spot. I was a little kid who was beat up by everybody, but never had gotten into a fight.
Did they call you sucker punch?
they called me so many names. I was like, you know, imagine it's like every name that somebody calls you is a brick that they're putting on your back.
Mm.
And I, you know, by the time I got to 7 years old, my back was broke from all of the name calling. And so I did not have a healthy view of myself. By the time I reached 7 years old, I fought like hell to have one. So I had an external one. And you know, so I was a person who, when I got through graduate from high school, I was outspoken, but I was always by myself, very silent in my secret mind. I spent most of my time in my secret mind. I was not alive. I was surviving, but I was not alive. And being in my life was painful. It was painful being in my life without confidence. I was faking like I had it. I didn't know how to fake it. But I learned that my best pretending was to be quiet and don't say nothing. At least I had the wisdom to be quiet. Some people don't have confidence, and they run their mouth all the time. So my life was so painful that it would develop a desire in me to want to figure out how to get out of the prison that I was in.
Yeah.
And then, so at first, all I wanted to do was get myself out. And when I discovered how to get myself out, you know, the divine said to me, now go help other people get out. I said, well, shit, I'm out. I didn't want to go help nobody. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to do none of this shit. Not at first. because I wanted to have my life. I wanted to have my life. I didn't want to. I didn't want to be accountable to nobody. And my life got worse. Once I got out, I went back in because I didn't want to share it. Mm-hmm. I was stingy. I didn't want to share my life. I didn't want to open myself up and let people come into my life. I had this thing where one day I was sitting down watching television, and I'm watching TV, and I look in the television, and I see my dad. And my dad was, you know, wanted to come out but never came out socially.
Right.
He was, you know, never feel like he could fully express himself. And I, you know,
right.
And when I saw my dad in the television, the universe said to me, he already lived his life. It's time for you to live yours, but you're living it just like he lived
That's
his.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. So it was almost like a slap in the face, because whatever he went through, whatever punches he took from me, instead of me moving forward, I was staying in the same spot because I was afraid to let people come into my life. So then I started, you know, doing this work, you know, came into contact with Brother Bilal, Brother Jafar. You know, I mean, the brothers have to really transform how I saw things, because I remember when I first met them, even though supposedly I was teaching them at the time, they were teaching me too. Because, I had an apartment. Right? I lived in an apartment for years. Wouldn't even think, never thought about getting a house. I didn't have a desire for a house because I came from a situation where I didn't have much confidence in myself. And when you don't have much confidence in yourself, you don't want much out of life.
Right.
You know, it's like you could choose from everything on the planet, and you only choosing this little bit of stuff because the secret view you have of yourself is so bad that you don't feel like you're worthy of having these things that's so good. And I remember there was a situation where, and it brings tears to my eyes every time I think about it, I used to think I was a good dresser, but I was dressed very country. And Bilal and Jafar were trying to figure out a way how to tell me when I hurt my feet. one day Bilal picked me up and said for me to come with him to the store. So I'm going to store. He said, I'm going shopping. So he went to the mall. And I'm thinking he's going shopping for himself. He's shopping for me. He bought me about $2,000 worth of clothes. I'm like, why you giving me? He said, man, because I'm tired of seeing you.
Oh, wow. Gotta love Brother Bilal and Jafar.
You gotta love it, because they were like, they conspired to get me up to date, you know. So there are people like that in my life that have come along that helped me to see the view I had of myself before I started having the bricks on my back. Because I wasn't conscious of that, but people have come into my life and told me what my real view was because they saw it and see it. And so for a while, I had to go off of their view of me, which was a great view, until I got the view myself.
Yeah.
And then
you know, that's,
this idea of opening up so people I could share my life with people.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's often one of the things. Sometimes we can move so far away from ourselves that we do have to look sort of outside of ourselves and those that we trust and that we love in order to find our way back home. Beautiful, beautiful. I think this is definitely a great time. I know you wanted to do some coaching I know you want to do that. So I want to get everybody ready to kind of get ready to go to the phone lines. We're going to go over to the Remix Radio page as well, too. So we can take a look at some of the questions here that Brother Ragiva has and read some of the responses here. Many of you have taken a look at it. I see not too many of you have really answered it, but I know you're going to come on the phone lines with your questions. And so we are going to open up the phone lines tonight. You'll get a double dose. Brother Ragiva will be doing his coaching, and I also will be doing my intuitive coaching sort of alongside with him as well. So one of the questions here, and here are some things that you guys can just begin to ponder. The first question is there something about yourself, and I want you guys to think about this, that people don't know that you would like for them to know? So what is it something about yourself that people don't know, but you would like them to know? You know, a lot of times that takes our mind into that secret place. Wouldn't you say that,
yeah.
Brother Ragiva? It does. But But it doesn't necessarily have to be something maybe that you're hiding. But a lot of times, you know, have you ever been talking to somebody and say, all of a sudden you're doing something and you say, oh, I didn't know you liked to play the piano. Like, and they say to you, oh, I love to play. I always play around on the piano. But no one knew that about you.
Right.
But it's something that you kind of wish people would know about you. So I want you guys to think about that. Is there something about yourself that people don't know that you would like for them to know? That's question number one. Question number two, why would you like for them to know it? And then why don't they know it? Great question. Question number three, is there one thing about yourself that you struggle to accept? And would you like to bring an end to this struggle? Is there something about yourself you're sort of kind of struggling about that you would like to say, you know, enough already. God is struggling with this. The other question Brother Raghava has is there an area of your life where your confidence is kind of low and you'd like to elevate it? These are going to be some really, really great questions. So tonight, if any of these questions are on your heart or in your mind, for you to call in, because you can actually get a free coaching session here, a mini coaching session from Brother Raghava. And also you'll get some intuitive insight from myself. The other question is there a place in your life where you feel you're constantly misunderstood, and you would like to discover how to shift this? Now, this is one we hear a lot. I know I do, too, where you're being constantly misunderstood. It's like you say one thing, but the person hears a whole nother language coming out of you. There. That's the other one. And then the last question is there an area in your life where you feel like you've lost power and would like to discover how to reactivate it? You see, there is one Ms. Huston put up. She said, being a better steward over my family's emotional and developmental needs is where she feels like she needs to get some assistance. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Plus one if you have a question and you would like to I'm sorry, people are PMing me already. If you have a question that you would like to ask Brother Raghava, press it's a lot of y'all on the phone lines. Press one if you get on the phone lines. You can also Skype in for all of our international callers out there. You can also Skype and Skype on in. Or that's what I want you to do, or go over to the Remix Radio page. We would love to hear what you have to say over there as well. So we're going to get ready to get on the phone lines, you guys. Make sure you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, you know, all that good jazz that we do. And we're gonna get ready to do this. You ready, Brother Raghava?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Ms. Bloom.
So one of the things I do want to ask in one of the particular questions is, and I'll start, we'll start it out here. I think this will be a really, really great one to begin to talk about, is being misunderstood and being able to shift that, to shift being misunderstood. And discovering how to shift that of being misunderstood.
I'm going to tell you a little story that helped to get us to understand the primary thing that you have to do to shift it. Dating this woman, and she says to me, I like French toast. And I say, shit, I like French toast too. So I said, how you like your French toast? She says to me, Well, we dip. I'm from Jamaica, so I dip my French toast in egg, and put a little salt and pepper, and that's French toast. I was like, "What? That ain't French toast. It's in New Orleans." we make French toast, and we put our French toast in egg with sugar, some cinnamon, vanilla, nutmeg. She's like,
yeah.
Dang, how we doing in Jamaica? I said, well, that's how. So, okay, now here's the point of the story. We were talking about the same thing, but the meaning didn't translate.
Yes.
This happens all the time.
Yes.
We assume that the word that we are using, the meaning of what it means for us is automatic in the other person. So we're constantly being misunderstood when we don't take the second step and making sure that the meaning of what we mean is translated to the other person or conveyed to the other person so that that person could then catch up with our meaning and we could catch up with theirs and then we could come to a meeting ground of understanding.
Yes.
Every time we misunderstood is because the meaning of something has not translated and we assumed that it was and we moved forward thinking that we had an understanding when we didn't because this is what happens too. Sometimes people don't listen to us, or either we don't listen to them, but we pretend that we listen. Because if you're listening and you don't understand what something means, what you do, you ask a question.
Right.
And you could tell by the question that is asked if a person is really listening. Now, let me give you an example. There are two
mm-hmm.
different kinds of questions in life. They are what they call resourceful questions, and then they are non-resourceful questions. All right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If a person is listening, they're going to ask you a resourceful question. In other words, they're going to ask you a question they don't know the answer to that when it's asked, it's going to open up something new. It's going to open up another possibility,
yeah.
another resource.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not listening, which we learn to do, we learn to pretend like we're listening, we always ask non-resourceful questions. We ask questions we already know the answer to. So you're talking to somebody, and then, you know, to make it look like they're listening, they say, well, so I guess you mean that Bob did such and such, such, such. Well, he already knew the answer to that. He didn't have to
right.
be listening to ask that question.
True.
Matter of fact, he already had his stuff already worked out already that he was going to say, regardless of what I said. But
that's
every
right.
time a person is listening, you always ask a resourceful question. And that's a way for you to tell if somebody is listening to you. But being
mm-hmm.
misunderstood comes from those two components, not translating meaning and not listening to each other.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I say let's get ready to go to the phone lines. And let's see who's calling. We're going to go to the caller. Calling in from area code 630. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Jasmine, that's us. Hello?
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
This is Kevin calling from New Jersey.
Okay, greetings to you, Kevin, from New Jersey. You have a question for Brother Raghava, and then... Mm-hmm. Kevin?
Hi, Ms. Blue. I'm his wife. I actually was the person that had the question.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. She jumped in there like a champ. She jumped in there like a champ. She said, wait a minute. Move out of the way, Kevin. Enough of this fun with the remix already.
Well, actually, okay. My husband was the one that told me to call, so.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love your energy. You came right on in.
Well, the reason why I'm calling is I want to know what to do when you're at this point in your life where something has happened and so it's kind of made you lose your motivation to move forward.
Okay. Well, tell us your name first. We want to know that.
Okay.
And,
well, my name's Jasmine.
Yep. Jasmine.
Yeah, I can hear you. Sorry, I'm on a cell phone, so sometimes the reception isn't great.
Okay. Well, so you're experiencing burnout, right, Jen?
I think it's more than burnout, but yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Well, you know when I say burnout, I mean that you become numb
yeah.
to something, and usually it happens because you've had some disappointments. Things
correct.
Have not happened the way you expected them to. So now, here is the thing. Number one, in the future, do not have expectations of other people. Have them only of yourself.
But what if you don't meet your own expectations of yourself?
Well, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
And usually when we don't meet our own expectations, it's because we're not clear about what we want. Albert Einstein said this a long time ago. He said that a problem cannot be solved at the same level of thinking in which you created it. So what he was saying was essentially was that the answer or the solution is not in the problem. And so I could tell right from the bat, from the words you're using, that you've been looking for the solution in the problem, and you can't find it there. The solution is inside the solution. So now, here's the question. What is the problem? What do we define the problem as?
I would say that I always assumed that everything would work out and that life was a great place. And then
mm-hmm.
I had just a really rough year, and I came out of it just no longer liking life at all. So
mm-hmm.
now I go through the motions, but I don't feel it. I don't see a future. I don't know. I've lost my zest for life completely.
Exactly, and that's what I mean. You've been looking at the problem. And you're not going to find a solution in the problem. Now, this is what I mean, that we only say we have a problem when we're not getting what we want. That's all the problem is. Somebody's not getting what they want, and you have not been getting what you want for a while. And so you're going through burnout because now you can't see yourself getting what you want. But the reason why you can't see yourself getting what you want is because you don't know what it is. So what I need for you to do is you shift your focus and be clear about what you want and then make this deal with yourself. Here's the deal. To focus on only what you want. To talk about only what you want. To lose what I call the bullshit communication. Because right now you got pity party going on, right? And the pity party thing is when we are constantly talking to ourselves and we say things to ourselves that ticks us off the hook for being responsible for the result we want. At the end of the day, you're still responsible. If you quit and do nothing, you're still responsible. You will still be responsible for the same life. What you're doing is deciding how you want to live it. And you need to make up your mind on that, how you want to live it, and know that it's not a magic wand. You have to determine it through will that you want to live a great life. And every morning when you wake up, you have to do something to choose a great life. Just like if you went to an ice cream parlor and they said they only had two flavors, chocolate or vanilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say, give me chocolate ice cream. I love chocolate. If you say that you love your life and you really want to live a full life, then get up in the morning and choose the chocolate ice cream. And every morning choose it. Do not think that it's going to happen by osmosis. It's not going to happen by a magic wand. It happens because we exert our will every day to choose living a great life. Every morning we choose it. We choose it. We choose it. But before you can do that, you got to be clear about what a great life is for you. So what I'd like for you to do is maybe write down what you really want. Don't put any restrictions on it. Make it be like a real wish list, but try to get in touch with it from your heart. What do you want from your heart? Not from your mind, from your heart. Because when we want what's in our heart, it's already done already. When we want what's in our mind, we go after it and we never really get it because what we're after is not going to generate the fulfillment anyway.
Can I just ask a piece, add on to this, because this makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
But I think the bigger issue is if you can't change the past, but if you're so angry about it and that's blocking
you,
I think that's the real issue.
You can change your past, but we'll get to that in a minute. But go ahead.
It's not my turn yet.
Well, you know, so you just let the cat out of the bag. You really, because at first you had that in your secret mind when you first said that you burned out, but you didn't give the whole story. So if you haven't let go of the past, then it's next to impossible to move on to a new present, because what happened is your past will keep showing up as your present. But Ms. Blue's is going to tell you how to really let it go, because the thing is. I heard Oprah say this one time on her show, and she was talking about forgiveness. And she said forgiveness was giving up the idea that how things happened in the past could have happened any differently. When you come to this acceptance that everything happened just as it was supposed to happen, And then you begin to look for how, even as bad as what happened in the past, how it contributes to you having a greater understanding right now and is giving you an opportunity to see things from a higher elevated position than you were in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we struggle to do that. We struggle to see a silver lining in our struggling, in our, you know, painful past, because we are so dedicated to the definition we've given to it or the meaning we've given to it. And we don't recognize that we could change the meaning that we've given it to it. We can give it another meaning, a meaning that has value, a meaning that has purpose for us to move on and live our life, not hold on to the same old meaning that's draining us and pulling us down and preventing us from seeing a brighter future for ourselves. Ms. Blue, you want to add in?
Yes, yes. Whenever you guys are, you know, done, I'm listening and enjoying, and everyone here is doing their conversation as well too. I do want to say this to you, Jasmine. You know, one of the things is that you came on and just this burst of energy when you came on the phone, and so I'm going to be the first here to say that I don't believe you. What you're saying. I don't believe that you've given up on yourself. You haven't.
Mm.
And here's an indication that you didn't. You're on the phone with us. One.
Exactly.
But see, a person who's given up, they're not trying to get help. They're good where they are. It's cool with them. They got the thumbs up, and it's the green light go, you see. So first of all, I want you to know that you haven't really given up on yourself. Are you disappointed? Yes. Are you hurt?
Angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you angry? You're not even so much angry. You're really not.
Resentful.
Not as much as, yes, I think resentful is the word, but also I'm going to tell you what you're really, really pissed at. And I energetically went into your energy, so you'll feel me moving some shit around in there right now. But
please do. I'm totally confused.
You're really pissed off that you didn't see the shit coming first. That's why you're mad.
I'm really what?
You're pissed off that you didn't see it coming.
Well, yeah.
You're really
pissed off at that.
You're very pissed off that you didn't see it coming. But here's the thing. All the signs were there. Everything was there for you. But this is the number one thing I want you to get back to, because this has a lot to do with you. And energetically, that is, you are so independent. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you are so independent that it is very, very difficult for you to even help yourself. One, you can't be that independent because everybody needs somebody. Everybody does, and he's right. You need to listen to him, and you have a lot of passion. You're very, very passionate. The thing that you suffer from, so many people suffer from this as well too. You don't listen. What happens is your drive for your will of just your independence is greater than your true passion. And that causes you to miss things. So you constantly have the blind spot. You're angry. You're pissed off. You feel like you were put in a bad situation. You were done unfairly. And you, quite frankly, want revenge.
I do, but I can't have it.
Oh, yes, you can, and you're having revenge right now.
Exactly, you're having it right now.
Yes, you're having revenge because you're taking all of this venom going into you, and it's working because out of your own admission, you said, I don't even have the zest to live anymore. All of these things that you're wishing on other people is now turning on you. Because that's what revenge is. You're getting it. So, one, you have to stop that mindset because it's just not a good look on you. You're a very, very intuitive woman, and you've got to get back to those foundations. There is no simple answer here other than pick yourself up because you have a family. You can't afford to just throw in the towel and say it's over for me. That's not a luxury. You didn't choose that life. So quitting is not an option for you. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And you're good at what you do. That wasn't the problem. And you can't separate you making bad choices, overlooking things, and things being out of your control from what you're really good at. So do it again. Learn from your lessons. Use your memory so that you can know not to make the same mistakes again. Because this is, as my mama would say for me, this is a bought lesson for you. Oh, you bought this damn lesson. It cost a whole lot, so I hope you got it because you're going to be faced with it again.
Are you kidding me?
No,
like,
I'm not
actually going to have the same situation?
No, it's not going to be the same situation, but it's going to be the
okay.
same scenario. And either you're going to make the same mistake again, or either you're going to learn from it. So it is time for you to realize that there is some valuable lessons for you to learn because either you learned it now or you could have just kept going and a year from now you could have found out you think you devastated. Oh, your ass ain't devastated because you could have really been devastated.
So I have to learn how to ask for help?
Yeah. And really want it. Because you think you know everything, and you don't.
Okay. I'm going to really have to think about that. It's totally against my nature, but I know that you know
okay.
the right thing. So if you tell me to, then
yeah.
I will.
Yeah. I mean, really think about it. Like I said, you are very good at what you do. That wasn't the problem here. That's not it. That's not the problem. The problem is your independence has put you in a place where it has become a blind side for you.
So
open
need-
yourself up and become the learner. Understand that there are things you don't know. Understand that you really have to understand that when a person is very, very independent, what that truly, truly means is that you are so dependent upon other people that one person can throw your ass off, just like this situation. See, because a person who doesn't need to be independent, they don't, one person is not going to throw me off. It would take a legion of people
yes.
to do that.
Okay.
So this
and,
is how
and,
you
and
know
other,
that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just saying, the other thing is, you know, cause what you're hitting on, Ms. Blue, is so on point. This idea of self-trust, you think the issue is, you know, I can't trust other people. But what it really is you can't trust yourself. And so what happens is this view you have of yourself that you keep projecting on other people is really what's getting in the way because you've lost the confidence in yourself to be able to trust yourself in certain situations, which needs to be regained in order for you to move forward. What Ms. Blue is telling you is right on point.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're in the learning stages. This is really, really a learning stage, but this is the best time to pick yourself up and do what you got to do because, again, you don't have the luxury to say. You didn't choose that life. You know, it's kind of like going into Ross and seeing the pink dress, the orange dress, and the green. You picked up the orange one, so you don't get to get home and say, I want to wear the green one. That ain't what you chose. You chose that, hey, this is me. This is the work I want to do. Go do it. Pick yourself back up. And go do it. Have your pity party. Be angry, be mad, be upset. Allow those emotions to go through you. Set the timer for like 10 minutes and move on. That's it.
Okay.
All right? Because Daddy right. needs a new pair of sneakers.
I will not pass that one on. All right.
So
thank you, Ms. Blue.
All right. You're welcome. Peace and love. Peace and love. All right, we're going to go on to the next caller. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 518. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm Linda. I'm calling from New York.
Linda from New York.
Yes, New York.
All right, Father Rob Givens, you have a question for Father Rob Givens?
I feel like I've been stuck, I guess somewhat in the past, and I really try to get, you know, unstuck. I don't know how. It's not working. Well, I don't think it's working.
That's a common one, you know, and most people who... it's so common because, you know, we have focused so much energy on the problem that we have very given ourselves very little time to get to know what we really want. And the thing is, you're not going to live in the present unless there's something you want in the present. So if like everything that you are focused on is past, then it's like you're living there. You know, it's like your mm-hmm. secret mind is just in, you know, filled up with those thoughts of the past. So you're really not present. Even though you're talking to me right now, you're
mm-hmm.
not present. So just like when Ms. Blue just got through telling the other young lady to get off the phone about this idea of listening. See, when you're stuck in the past, that means you haven't been hearing what's going on right now. So you're not in touch with your own reality. Like right now, you are disconnected from what's really real in your life. All right, so... just give us some indication in terms of the path that you're stuck in. What does it involve?
Well, what happened is that, you know how you have dreams and you go for the goals and you try to do
mm-hmm.
things, and you said, I'm trying these things, but nothing has gelled and happened. And so I guess that's how I got stuck, because I stopped, you know, dreaming or, you know, making plans. Because when I was making
okay.
the plans, it's like, things were going haywire. So now I'm at the point where I'm afraid to even go forward to do anything else because it's not working. I don't want to say those things, but, you know, it seems like they're not working.
Well, let me say this to you because it mm-hmm. sounds familiar. I have mm-hmm. I had a few clients who mm-hmm. who things would always fall apart. Like it would build up, like it's been ready to
mm-hmm.
rain for them. I mean, things
mm-hmm.
are really
mm-hmm.
going to happen for them. And then all
yeah.
of a sudden, it would fall apart. And it kept happening like
yeah.
that. And so,
yeah.
you know, it kept to me. I said, you know, I got it. I know exactly what it is. All right. And here is probably the same thing for you. Tell me if
okay.
I'm wrong. You tell people all your business. And you
no,
tell them.
No,
no. No, let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
You tell people your business about your
mm-hmm.
business before the business has really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, if you go to somebody and you tell them, girl, I just got through having this meeting, and this is going to happen. So you share what's going down before it actually go down, like before it's complete. So you, like, people sometimes have a habit of letting people in their life before the thing that really goes down, we share it. The other thing is, too, we do that because we want credit. Now, I don't know if you know about it, the idea of, you know, you wanting credit. When you want credit for things a lot, you tend to not get paid because credit is a substitute for pay. So we say things to people and we want people to approve what we're doing. So we say things to get approval. And when we say things to get those approval, it's spiritually we're getting credit, and the thing that we're looking to get paid from falls apart. So I would say to you that, look, in the future, when you develop a plan, for business and you're working on it, keep it to yourself. When God tells you something, that's building up in you, like some great idea, don't share it until you have taken all the steps necessary to make it happen. We have this tendency to share it with other people, and it falls flat because it didn't grow enough inside of us long enough for it to mature.
True. Okay. Okay.
And the other thing is, do this. Make sure I don't. This may be you. Make sure you be on time. Because a lot of my clients who had the same problem that you're talking about had a habit of not being on time, showing up 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, always, you know, always having an excuse for why they're not on time. When you are not on time, that means you're not on timing. Because if you agree to be someplace at a certain time and you keep not showing up at that time, what you're doing is you're creating the synchronization of everything happening in your life. You're interfering with the rhythm of it. So instead of it happening like it's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen, it falls apart because you messed the timing up.
Okay. Okay.
Ms. Blue, what you got?
Okay.
All right. Wow, we just spoke.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Friday,
yes.
We spoke on Friday night.
Yes.
So here's what I want you to do.
Yes.
As you know me, I don't like to mix sugar with shit. But I want to know what you did from Friday till tonight. Because you're asking the same question, and I want to know, what did you do from Friday, what we talked about, till today?
Okay. I tried to keep in a positive light, and I said to myself yesterday and today that, Linda, you are enough for yourself. Recognize it and appreciate it. I did do that. Yes, I did, because I heard that conversation over and over. And then I said to myself again, okay, why are you not appreciating yourself? Why are you not understanding that this is enough? You got the information to confirm it. Why? And now I still don't understand. That's what I'm working on now. So it's
Yeah.
I did think about that, and I understand what the brother's saying, because I know about that silent power. Those are things I did years ago. I had idea, but now if I'm doing something, I shut up. I keep it to myself.
Okay. Well, I want to stop you there, because I did tell you that, but I also told you, really, one, gave you confirmation on what was going on, and I also told you what to do. Did you do it?
I'm looking. What? I got my notes. I'm looking at my notes. What did I miss?
Look at your notes. Yeah, take a look at your notes. Because you probably didn't write this down, because I said, do absolutely nothing. Because the problem was, you've been doing too much. Nothing.
I remember when you said nothing. Sometime nothing is better. Yes,
that's right. You need to sit in that place of stillness, of that place of learning how to receive, of being in that place. If you truly, truly want to know, there's a place called the resting tree. You will hear our ancestors speak about it. Many people in the dream world go to the resting tree. And through that place of stillness, through that place of being at peace, it's the place where the collective consciousness comes together. It's the place where we all get to be one. Too much of your focus has been Linda, 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 Linda. Too much of you, of your conscious mind, anyway. If you will just go and be able to sit with yourself in the nothingness, no expectations, no premeditated thoughts, no thoughts about what you're not doing, no thoughts about what you're doing right. Just sit with yourself, then you'll be able to reconnect with that higher part of you so that you can be able to divinely recognize where you are and also recognize what steps you need to go forward.
Okay.
It's about being present. It's about being here truly in this moment. Because you're not stuck. That's what you don't realize.
That's
you're
right. You did
stuck.
Say I was moving forward.
Yeah, you're not stuck. You just stop walking. If you're walking down the street and you're standing in the middle of the block, and somebody drives by and say, can we help you? And you say, I'm stuck. They trying to figure out who's holding you.
Cause
who's got a hold of you? Somebody holding you back? Your feet glued to the, you know, you in cement. You know, you got what? You got glue on your shoes. Who's holding you? Ain't nobody holding you. You're not stuck. So if you're not stuck, then you're wandering. The first thing that they teach you, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or any type of survival course, don't just keep walking. You got to stop and orientate yourself and figure out what is your location. Where am I? You don't know where you are. You have not been still enough to look around so that anybody can come assist you, help you, save you. Because the first thing they're going to say to you is, what's around you? Since you don't know where you are, what do you have around you? You can't answer those questions because you have not focused yourself enough and just received. Be at peace. Cut off the lights. Cut off the radio. Cut off the television. Set the timer for 20 minutes. Close your eyes and just be. That's it. That's it.
I got it.
That's what you told me Friday.
I got it. I guess I was just so excited to get through on Friday. I wasn't.
Yes.
Like he said, I wasn't really listening.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, and we have to hear things over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
Spirit guides tell me that all the time. The hardest shit for humans is to listen. Listen to their own inner voice. Because that's going to be the most powerful for you.
Yeah,
that's right.
And the other thing is stop looking for credit from other people.
Oh,
know what
validation.
You want. And stop looking for validation because you know you spend a lot of time looking for validation. And we do it in some very subtle ways. But I want you to understand is that whenever you're looking for credit, you're not going to get paid. So you need to choose which one you want. You want credit or you want to get paid? And when I say paid, I'm not talking about paper money always. So my fulfillment, happiness, joy, because that's some of the real pay. Some of the stuff that money can't buy. But know for sure that when you're looking for validation, approval, and look to get credit from people, you are not going to get paid. And that's what causes us to become so unhappy, you know, disappointed. We get, you know, like you say, stuck because you took all the credit out. You made a withdrawal of credit, so there was no reason for you to get paid. Hold the stuff to yourself. Stay focused on what you want and go after it because it's for you first. The things that, you know, the spirit world gives us is for us first, and then once it does what it's supposed to do for us, then we share it with other people. We want to share it before it's done what it's supposed to do for us.
Oh, so true. So true.
I like that when you look for credit, you don't get paid. I like that.
Yeah, we listen.
I like that.
The spirit world told me, I was in a meeting, and spirit world said, look, I want to give you a secret. You could have whatever you want in life as long as you don't care who get credit. That's why so many of us are disappointed and stuck because we're so damn concerned about who's going to get credit that we don't do our damn job.
That's
why I stuck all through because we didn't do our job that we were sent to do because we want to know who name was going to be on the plaque. Forget about that shit and do your job. And you, the universe got to pay you when you do your job. Don't worry about credit. To everybody listening right now in the listening audience, stop worrying about who's going to get credit and do your damn job.
Yes. Excellent. All right, we'll see.
If I call back again, it'll be something. It'll be good news on the report.
This is good news.
This is great. I got it now.
Good.
For sure. And I'm gonna keep listening because my computer keeps going on and off. So if you could just mute me so I can hear. Yeah.
Okay, I will keep listening. All right.
Thank you.
Yes. Beautiful. Thanks for calling in. All right. That's right. Too many people want to get credit for stuff, and yes, just so unnecessary. But it's. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 404. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Miss Blue.
Yes, greetings.
How you doing, Miss Blue? What's up, Brother Raw?
How you doing, Brother? How you doing?
Greetings.
Right, this is from Atlanta.
What's
happening, Brother? What's going on? How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Wonderful.
All right, I'm enjoying the show. My thing was, I think you read the questions earlier, Ms. Blue. You were saying one of them was, what is it that you just sick of and just, you know, you just tired of? And I'm sick of my relationship that I haven't even really been in, but I'm in it. I just need something laid out for me when it comes to that. So I wanted to hear Brother Rob what he had to say about it.
Well, here's the thing, brother. I've been on that road before, and anytime we're in a relationship that we feel like we're not getting what we want, all it's doing is reflecting back to us the image, the view we have of ourselves. You can't go into any relationship and not have your view of you shine back at you through action. Because relationships are mirrors that reflect back to us our view of ourselves. So if you want to change your relationship, you got to change that view. You got to change the way you secretly see yourself. Because if you saw yourself as being all that in a bag of chips, as they say, you could not attract someone who treats you like shit.
Right.
You follow me?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that way.
So you got to work on you. So oftentimes we want to work on the other person. I want to change her or change him. And she is not your project. You your project. The quickest way to transform a relationship is to work on the core of yourself, and that is how you really see yourself. Do you think, you know, do you second guess if you're worthy of having someone treat you well? If you second guess that, then that means that your view is not as healthy as it should be. So you got to work on that. And the first thing you got to do for that is you got to take responsibility for your view. Take responsibility for it and begin to start developing by changing your perspective of yourself, not of them. Because they're going to be a distraction for you as long as you think that you could change them. You can't change them. You have the power to do that. You don't have the right to do it. But as soon as you change you, it's going to change them. Go change how to respond to you, how to react to you. Ms. Blue?
I was waiting on Griff to respond.
Look, I did want to say something. It's like when it comes to, like, you know, the view of how I look at her, I do. I see all her beautiful qualities, and I see them in myself. And I see the fucked up shit, too. I see it in myself, too. It's just that it's a lot of stuff we've done to each other. You know, it ain't like, you know, I'm over here and I'm just, you know, I'm a choir boy. I done did a lot of dirt myself. But the thing, when it comes to me, I'll say it. I don't, I don't, I don't really hold back. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, I feel like sometimes I talk, I express myself maybe a little too much, you know, and I say whatever it is I can have on my chest, and it don't seem to change nothing. It just, you know, she'll be comfortable with that, and I just be comfortable that I guess I said, and I just keep on rolling, but it don't reach the point to where, you know, it just ain't enough, you know what I'm saying? She ain't happy, I ain't happy, and like I said, it ain't even really been a real committed relationship from the jump, and
what?
I already see the faults. From the dope.
Here's what you did. I just got to talking to about the lady just got off. You pulled all the credit out of the relationship so you couldn't get paid. See, the reason why you were expressing all that is because you wanted to get credit for being honest and being an expressive man. At least I'm a brother that tell you the truth. So you got credit for that, but you didn't get paid. See, because there has to be some real reason why, if we're going to be in a relationship and we always telling everything there is to tell, there has to be a real reason why we're doing that. If it's just based on ego, you get what I'm saying? That you putting it out there because, you feel what I'm saying? It's for credit.
It's a lot of ego dealing with it. You know, I'm really just starting to open my mind and just, you know, just trying to see things differently for the like last 3 years. So I'm new to it. You know, it ain't like I've been on this forever. I wouldn't even imagine me talking to you guys. You know, so I've changed a whole lot. It's just, you know, I really wanted her to change with me. You know, and it ain't what she want to do. And I have to respect that. It's just that, you know, I just don't know how I end up. I can sit up here and say, well, you know, this, that, and third is like this. I ain't fucking with it no more. Like, eh. And then I get a phone call, and I be right back. Okay. You know, and I don't seem to understand it because I see through all the smoke and mirrors. I see through all of them. But I just keep putting myself in that situation. I'm just really disgusted with it, and I just want perfection.
Well, Griff. Well, Griff, the first thing I want to say to you is this. Relationships take work. And they take a whole lot of work. It's not one of those things where you work at it today, we get it good, and we roll off in the sunset, and we don't have to work anymore. So relationships take work, and I really applaud you for wanting to do work in the relationship and wanting to be able to be in a relationship. That's kind of big for you, too, the whole commitment thing. That's an issue for you. But here's what I want you to begin to take a look at. And you say, well, you know, I, you know, have been completely honest about my bullshit. But she won't be honest about her bullshit, because that's what you're saying. Like, I'm up front with my bullshit. But she, I don't know what her problem is. She don't want to be up front with her bullshit. There's a problem with that. There's a problem that you even have bullshit to be honest about, first of all.
Right.
See, that's the bigger picture. It's that there is a problem with that. But on a serious note, here's something I want you to understand when it comes to this relationship that you're in. In the beginning, somehow, and I want you to really feel me, give you a big hug when Miss Lou tell you this. Somehow you felt like you were saving her.
Mm.
And I'm a woman. I love to be saved from something. Okay? And I'll put a star by that thing. But you felt like you were saving her. And that you had so much to offer her. And you do.
but there wasn't equal respect in what she had to offer you. So you sort of kind of did the whole little Captain Save-A-Ho, and I'm going to turn you into this magnificent, conscious goddess that you truly are. And you're going to walk side by side with me, and we're going to take over the world. And that was good until you truly accomplished the mission of a superhero mission. See, because when Superman goes to rescue somebody, what does he do when he's done rescuing them? What does he do for them? What does he tell them?
Have a nice day.
That's right. He say bye. See, you didn't say bye. You see, Superman right. dropped their ass off, and he flies off in the sky, and he's gone.
Go save another.
That's right. He's going to save somebody else. But see, you're still in the living room with your feet up on the couch and your cape on your back 9 months later.
Right.
And she's thinking, okay, well, you done saved me. And I'm so thankful, baby, that you done saved me. You done brought me my own cape. I got my own boots. And so now I'm ready to go save a hoe. Only a male hoe. Because see, you taught me how to save hoes. Because I was a hoe. And now I get to go save hoes. Now, she's saving hoes and you saving hoes. Y'all come home together. And y'all both looking at each other with your Superman capes on, trying to figure out, okay, so who's the baddest? Is it me or is it you? Because you didn't taught me well. You see, but you're honest. You're honest. But you tell the truth. And a part of that truth is I've been out saving hoes all day. And I'm coming back here because I ain't really got nowhere else to go stay, for real. So, and I like you, you know, because I saved you too. And make me something to eat.
Right.
That game went on for a while until she got to the point where you both are at right now. And either you're going to take those capes off and you're going to both come together, or you're both just going to keep doing what you do. The truth of the matter is, and I'm saying this in a very joking way, but I know you get what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you did this from your heart. See, we're joking about this, but what people don't realize is that you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But you hurt by the same shit that you're doing. That's what's tripping me out. You hurt. But what do you think she was when you were doing all the stuff you was doing? And I think it's very unfair that you try to kick her ass to the curb because she don't know who the fuck Baphomet is. Ah.
But you know what the thing is, Miss Blue? I'm listening to you and I feel like, you know,
you feel like it's time to go save somebody else. And that may very well be the case.
Well, I don't really, you know, like I didn't see my, like, I look back on all the years I walked into this without having no, I didn't have my open eye to nothing, you know, not really at the time.
Okay.
I can't see myself walking that walk again. I can't see myself walking in that situation and be like, man, I try to save all my female friend, my homeboy. I try to save every goddamn body. But
yourself.
Exactly. And I don't see myself, you know, put myself in that situation no more. Not to this degree. I mean,
And that's the reason why I said that you need to work on your view of you. You got to elevate that because that's the thing that keeps you in this cycle. You're trying to save other people, but you're really not. You're trying to save your damn self.
Yeah.
But
at the end of the day, that's who it is. Yeah.
That's what you're really trying to save.
You know, and I guess the whole thing is this is more about your pride being hurt than anything else. You know, but I want you to really kind of look at the position you're looking at it from. And I know Griff, he's a beautiful brother, and have done a lot of work on himself. But I want you to look at it from this position, Griff. I want you to truly, truly look at it from the position of somehow there is a part of you that feels that you're better than her. That's what this all comes down to. And you think, how dare you do this for me when you wasn't even the one?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is honest. Yeah, that's real.
So here's a question I'm going to take you back to. What does your mother have to say about all of this?
She don't say much, but I feel everything. I feel that, you know, she only, you know, have anything. She don't really, I feel like my mom don't really care about it. She just only know that she always had my back. So she care about that. But I feel like, you know, they don't have, you know, my mom don't feel it. I know it.
What do you feel she thinks for real, your mother? What do you think your mother feels for real?
About the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
I think she feels like it's, you know, like how I feel, like it's past, it's been overdue for it to be done with, and all the fussing and the fighting and carrying on is just too much, and it's been too much for a long time. But like I said, you know, longest, you know, she knows she had my back regardless, like no matter what I do, seem like, and she know that she'll always have my back. So I just think my mom had comfort in that. I don't think she really just, you know, like feel like she just her daughter-in-law, and she'll, you know, look at her like so. I don't feel like that. I don't feel like they connect on that level. I think she thinks she's fake. That's
you said what?
I think my mama thinks she thinks that she's fake.
Your mother thinks that she's fake.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I mean, I think it was at certain times it could have been something to where it could have changed its course, but it's, you know, it's too much dirt. Like I said, I think she's beautiful, and, you know, it, regardless of, you know, what we done.
So, hold on. But let me take you back, because now you're telling me how beautiful she is. You just told me your mama thinks she's fake. What do you think your mama think about you?
I think my mom is crazy about me. I think she, I can't do too much wrong. That's what I feel. I feel like.
So your mama thinks that she's fake and that you're a woman, but she thinks you can't do no wrong. I'm not understanding. help me understand that. If you can't do no wrong, then your choice can't be wrong. Right?
Well, no.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Who do fake people hang out with?
Fake people.
So if your mama thinks he's fake, then what does your mom think about you?
So you think I'm fake too?
It's something for you to think about.
Okay. All
right. Something for you to really, really think about. I want you to think about that. In this relationship, it's been a whole lot of fake shit going on, back and forth. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Because that was y'all, that's y'all relationship. There is no record book that says that a relationship has to go a certain way.
Right.
You know? Here is one of the things that I say. If you like it, I love it. Who the hell am I to say something? But here is where I can see a mama getting involved if she sees the relationship and she sees one thing and then talks to you and hears something else. And that's fake.
Yeah, I'm confused. My poor son confused.
You see, that's fake. Because how are you telling your mama one thing about the relationship, but when you get in front of, oh, baby, you beautiful and girl, you know Griff, and you know Big Daddy coming home, and we gonna do this. And, you know, what's that?
You know what I think, Ms. Blue? I think I wanted her to tell me the truth, just go ahead and hurt my heart all the way so I can just shut it off. That's what I feel like deep down.
She already told you the truth. But this is what I'm saying to you, and then we're going to move on from here. She's already told you the truth. You know it. But it is not even a fraction of the shit you've done. So how is this going to be so devastating?
Right,
this is too,
Ms. Blue. It's because I just feel like if you clean the slate, you can move, you can do something with it.
No, because guess what you have taught her? Guess what you've taught her in this relationship? You clean the slate so you can put some more bullshit on the table again. Then you go back, clean it again. All you're doing is just telling your dirt. Oh, yeah, I did that. Now let's just start over.
And it's also, it's not like it's also, too, you want her to take responsibility for ending it because you don't want to end it.
Yeah.
You don't
want
to have this on your record where, you know, I'm the one ended it. You want to be able to say, you see, it would have worked if she wouldn't have did this, but she did it,
that's right.
It's over. So I'm going to have to take the responsibility for it, for me saying, man, I don't want this. This is what I really want this over here. And then make a decision to go be with that over here if it's something else and cut it off. But you want her to cut it off for you.
Let me go ahead and make some predictions for you. You want me to go ahead? You want Miss Blue to make some predictions?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make some predictions, and I'm going to tell you this. 6 months from now, you're still going to be together, and the Zulu Union will still be going on. There you go. Have it. You guys are going to still be together. Your mama going to still be saying she fake. And y'all still going to be arguing, fighting, and she putting you out, you moving back in, and, you know, all that crazy shit that you like. You kind of like that drama. You like, you know, women kind of fighting over you. I mean, you're getting more into yourself, so it's not as sexy as it used to be back in the day, but it still kind of gets you excited, and you like that energy. Yeah, you like that. So the only thing that I can say to you, Griff, is you love her and she loves you. Stop being a baby. You're not hurt. if you're hurt of anything, you've just learned that all of these games that you've been playing in the past, even though you're not doing all of them anymore, that you taught her so fucking well that she knows how to do them better than you. That's it. Don't be a baby. You wanted to play, and now she's playing, and you don't like it. So either you say to her, listen, let's just end this and go our separate ways because it cannot be salvaged at this point. Or you man up and you say, I've made some terrible mistakes in the past, and I don't want to do this anymore. And if you don't want to do this and we're going to move forward, let's agree now. This is not Showtime at the Apollo where she needs to get on stage and make all of these confessions. So late at night when you're high and you're having a bad day, you can take that shit out on her. She ain't crazy. I mean, come on, but Chris, I love the brothers, but my goodness, she doesn't need to confess to you what you know. So either you're telling me, Miss Blue, I'm just being a baby, and I don't want to move on what I know, because you know this. So either man up or baby down.
All right. Thank you.
That's all right. You'll
hey,
make
you know
some
what,
good
Ms.
luck
Blue?
Tonight. It's the
you know,
super
moon. Yeah, I know I'm out here enjoying it, too. You know, you said December was the last time you're going to do readings. I can go back from the last year, and I think I can collect all of them. I have a forward, so I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you do. You have a whole bunch of them. But until you invest in yourself, you won't get the real one.
Right.
Got it?
Right.
Love
right.
you.
Thanks. Love you, too. Love you, too. Thanks, Brother Ron, man. Appreciate it.
Your brother, bro. You're welcome.
All right.
We're going to go to the next.
Man, I'm a baby down.
Yeah. I mean, really.
I love it. Yeah. Man, I'm a baby down. Damn.
We're going to go to the next caller, calling in from Eric Hood 518. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello? We spoke already.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry. Yeah. Hold on. Hold the line. We got plenty of y'all on the line, so let me make sure I get the right folks. Calling in, let's see, from area code. Wait, I didn't click on the wrong. Hold on. I'm gonna gather myself here together. Calling in from area code 912. I'm all over the place, but I'll find the right one. 912. Area code 912. You're live in the remix. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Y'all scared now? Did I scare y'all? We'll go to the next caller, calling in from area code 615. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello,
greetings. Who's on the line?
Yes, hi. This is LaShika from Nashville.
Greetings to you. Greetings.
Yes, we talked last, I believe it was last Friday or last Sunday. You said you read my chakra energy and said that there were flares. And you gave me some things to do, and I did
mm-hmm.
them. And
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know, you know, I don't want to be, you know, going on as if I think I know everything. But I wanted
mm-hmm.
to know if you still feel that, if you still see that.
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. I can tell you right now, tell me who you are, where you're calling from. And
Nashville.
What's your name again?
LaShika from Nashville.
LaShika. Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do first, LaShika. Do you have a question for Brother Rock Giva? Because, you know, he is our guest tonight.
Yes. I'm still stuck on the credit versus payment. So I guess I don't know. That in itself had an impact on me, and I'm probably just going to have to keep just download the show and listen to that part again. But that was very powerful for me. I think the question that I possibly did have for him was answered just by listening to the caller that he just talked to about that.
Okay. And so what is your question for me? Because I just don't read your energy to read it. I mean, we were doing something there. If you want me to check your energy for you for something in particular, we can do it. Because honestly, Miss Blue don't remember. So I want you to know that.
No, that's perfectly fine. You were saying that there was some, you could sense a lot of anger with me with some things. I know that I'm going through a lot of different things. So, I mean, who's not? But you'd made, because I didn't ask for the chakra or energy reading. That's something that you picked up and shared with me and said that the next time that I call in, you better not see any flares.
Okay,
so
I vaguely remember it. So let me say this to you. I don't see flares. But I'll tell you what I do see. I do see a lot of energy when it comes to your throat chakra.
Okay.
Yeah. I do see that. I don't see flares anymore. So whatever was going on with that, with the flares, is not there. But I will tell you this. The main thing is, and I don't remember the anger, but I do remember that you were frustrated. It was something we were talking about. Forgive me, because I don't. There are some cases I do remember, but that I don't remember. But I will tell you this. Your throat chakra looks like it is a little kind of wavy there. And so that, whenever I see that little wave kind of going in and out, that has a lot to do with telling the truth.
Mm.
So there's a difference between being honest and telling the truth. So I see this little wave that's telling me that there are some things that you're not being completely honest about and telling the truth.
And that's just universal, meaning with myself, with others, just in general.
Yeah, that's you communicating
that,
not communicating your truth. And I want people to understand about this. It's not necessarily about lying, even though that's what we call it, lying. But sometimes people lie because they don't want to be hurt. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people lie or they say things because it's a way to sort of kind of keep a little distance from them. And so instantly when you came on and I seen that, it kind of threw me off because you're not a very good liar, and I can tell you were lying. Does that make
about
sense?
About which part?
I mean, a lie is a lie.
No, I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to figure out what you were saying, that I said something that was not truthful.
Yeah, that you didn't really feel was 100% honest about why you're calling in and you wanted to know if I see those flares.
Okay.
Makes sense?
I believe so, just to continue to work on being honest with myself, being truthful with that.
And knowing that it's okay to be angry. Ooh, I know I didn't tell you not to be angry.
No, you actually told me to, for 10 minutes, to get the punching bag.
Oh, wait a minute. I do remember. Or did I tell you to get plastic bat and beat the bed? Was that
you?
Yes,
I thought you said punching bag. I heard punching bag.
Get a bat,
so,
beat the bed, and do that. Because what you're trying to do now is you're trying to compensate so that I don't pick up what you really called in to say. Let's just cut to the show. You called in to say, I'm still pissed off as hell, but I'm going to laugh and see if Miss Blue can pick up if my ass is angry.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
That's what it is. So, you know, and you don't lie very well. There are some people who call in and they're excellent liars. And sometimes I let them have their way and sometimes I expose them. But you're not a good liar. So it was throwing me off, like, wait a minute, why is she lying? What would she be lying about? So get the bat, beat the bed, allow yourself to be angry. It's absolutely nothing wrong with being angry at all. I'm going to tell you, there are some people right now I need to cuss the fuck out, but I haven't got my hands on them yet. When I do, they will get it. I'm serious. I'm serious.
I believe you.
It messes with your throat chakra. It does. It messes with you when you can't get that energy out of you. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's not that I can't get
it
out.
Yes, I do.
I just choose to put it out in that loving way. Because if I do anything else, oh, that would be a naughty tap from Miss Blue, and I don't want to do that. So this is what I'm saying to you. You know, so I don't want you to ever think that you have to call back in to try to trick me. And I know at the core of it, that's not what you wanted to do. I know that's
no,
not,
absolutely
core,
not
what you wanted to do. But you do want to see if other people can pick up if this is still going on with you. And so that's a big part of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I first said, is that, you know, I don't want to, once I get information, whether it's through the remix, whether it's through reading a book
yeah.
or whatever, and applying those principles. And, you know, it's one thing to get the information, think that I'm applying it in a I don't want to say the right way, but just applying it in general. It's one thing to look in the mirror and say, oh, okay, I've got this. Or speak affirmations and say, okay, I've got this, I'm changing this.
Yes,
and then
right.
really, and then on the flip side, be deceived. And I think for me, that's one of my biggest fears. I don't want to be thinking that, oh, okay, I've got this. I've got this information. I'm applying it. I'm walking it out. I'm seeing things shifting. And then while I find out, you know what? You really have not applied this.
Right, right.
And
but,
so for me to call in, you know, just to kind of be okay, am I?
Yeah, just to kind of touch bases. Did I really get this?
You know,
but
I
want you right. But I want you to also know this. I want you to hear what you said when you came on. See, I listen, like brother. I listen, like our brother Rock Givas said. You gotta learn how to listen. You said, I don't want to seem like I know it all, but that's what you said.
Yes.
Didn't she say that? Didn't she say that, brother Rock Givas?
Yes, she did. That's right. She started off with it.
And I don't.
So, right. But here's the truth. You do want to know that you know it all. you understand what I'm saying? That's the truth.
I understood
you do
that.
You want to know that you know it all, but not know it all. I know. Sounds crazy. But
no, it did not. I understood everything you just said.
Beautiful. So that's where you want to be with it. To the point where, guess what? If you knew you had it, you wouldn't call back in. Cause
she wanted to get credit for knowing. She wanted to get credit for knowing it.
She wanted to get credit. For it. No, I think she wanted a payment.
Wanted a what?
A payment.
What'd you say?
She wanted
a payment.
Oh, a payment. Yeah, but you can't get payments from other people. You get. She wanted credit. You're struggling to trust yourself. And see, because at the end of the day, you have to trust you at some point in this process of getting knowledge.
Yes.
What Miss Blue tell you, you have to trust yourself in this process, and you can't look for credit to trust yourself. If you're going looking for credit, you're not going to trust yourself. You gotta put into operation. It's a thing where you build your muscle.
Yes,
right, and it is a part.
It.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm listening.
Okay. No, I was just going to say it is a difference between confirmation and credit.
That was my question.
Yeah, I knew it. Psychically, I'm in there. I got it. So there's a difference between wanting to get confirmation, and that's cool. But what you don't want to do, and I just thank you for being this beautiful example, is you came on, but you came on with dishonesty. You didn't come on honest. Like, sometimes people are honest. It's like, hey, I'm just calling back in so you can check me out because I don't really know. You came on with, okay, I'm going to try to lie. And I'm going to be like, I did all this, and I got it, and but I'm going to see if she can pick it up.
Great.
See, what I picked up from you is that she was lying. That's not the same thing. So it's not necessary to do. You understand? And I tell you this because the same pattern that you're doing with us, you're doing in other areas in your life, and you're trying to figure out, like, I'm doing all this good stuff. Why isn't this being reciprocated back to me? Like, where is this reflection? I need this to come back to me in this honest way, you see. So it's just about whether you get something from me or anyone else, if you pull it out the ether and you begin to take it within yourself and you start to do the alchemy, there's a point, like Brother Raghava is saying, where you have to incorporate you in that process. It's okay to get confirmation. Because that's a big part of the work that I do. We're all here for that, Brother Raghava. That's really what we're all giving to each other any damn way. It's confirmation.
Right.
You understand? That's all it is. It's confirmation. But when we start taking it to other levels and we want it to be things, as Brother Raghava says, as credit, then see, that takes it, that's the lie. Because you can't get credit for that. The only thing you'll be able to get is the confirmation,
Remember, I was saying earlier about, you said you know when a person is listening by the questions that they ask. If they ask resourceful question or non-resourceful question, you could always tell. So she started off with a non-resourceful question, a question she already knew the answer to in advance. So it was like a setup. Confirmation is never a setup. Confirmation is natural.
Right.
You're talking about something, and it comes up, and you're like, oh, I got the confirmation. You don't go looking for it necessarily, because if you're going looking for it, it's a setup. It happens naturally, because you're in your natural flow trying to figure something out for real. Like, I got a real question. I'm really trying to figure this out. You weren't really trying to figure it out. You already had your conclusion already. You wanted to test it.
So to answer your question, I don't see sparks, but your throat chakra stopped waving now. So you're telling the truth. You're good to go. You're good to go. You're good. There you go. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Peace and love. You don't have to be nervous.
Y'all have a great week. The crazy thing is I have never, ever been nervous when I called, ever.
But you were nervous tonight, girlfriend.
What happened?
I said, wait a minute now. Let me see.
Yeah.
I said, That's okay.
Well, I don't want to do that. I'll just put it on the super moon. I'll do that.
Okay, there you go. We'll blame it on the book.
Thank you. Yes.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Yes.
All right. That was beautiful. We have about 5 minutes and 55 seconds left to go in the forum. We're still going to go into the after hours. I see all of you guys still waiting on the phone lines. So 646-652-2711 is the number to call. If you can get on the line, you really should, because we have Brother Raghava that is here live with us. And for you guys who want to reach out to Brother Raghava, you definitely can by doing it a couple of ways. And you can be a part of his coaching program that he offers to brothers and sisters all over the world. And you can either email him by emailing Father, and yes, that's Father, like F-A-T-H-E-R, and then Raghava, like Ra, R-A, and then G-I-V-A-H at gmail.com. Or you can call him Yeah. If you're serious about wanting to change your life, you can call Brother Raghiva at 1-877-229-8880. And you can contact him and find out all about all the work he's doing and all of the coaching all over the world. So just a beautiful place to be. And we're going to continue right here live in the remix. We're going to keep taking you guys' calls because we only have a few more minutes left to go here in the forum. We're going to go to the caller calling, and it looks like from a private number. Private number. Yeah. All right. Peace and greetings. You're live in the remix.
Hello, good night, Mr. Wu, Brother Raghiva.
Oh, hello, good night. Tell everybody good night.
It's
where
Griffin.
You're calling
from. I'm calling from Jamaica. Brother Raghiva, you know me as a different name. My name
it's
is
Griffin,
Griffin. But you know me as a different name because I've been working
with you. I know.
Mm-hmm. Griffin calling from Jamaica. All right, hold the line for us, Jamaica. And for the rest of you guys out there, you naughty Remix listeners, make sure you get over to the Remix family page. If you like the show, I want you guys to like it. If you love it and leave a comment. Love to hear your thoughts. Go over, answer the questions. I know Esther has been over there posting all of your questions, your responses in the Remix radio group. So I cannot wait for us to get over there and read some of these responses that you guys have had. So we're going to check both places, the Remix Radio group and the Remix Radio page, to see those responses. Don't forget to download for those of you who won't be joining us in the after hours to download the show, this show, and all of the other Remix shows so you can hear. And also, I want to say to everyone out there that sent information I want to send information to all of you guys out there to let you know that responded that was interested in the energy reading class that I'm going to be doing a special call. So check your mailboxes sometime this week. I'll let you know where to call in, and we're going to talk about that class. I thought maybe one or two of you would respond, but yikes, got so many responses from brothers and sisters all over the world. And I'll share that very special thing with you guys. Don't forget, if you want to get a reading, you definitely need to do that. December is going to be the cutoff list. I'm not going to say forever, but it will be for a while. So if you want to get a reading from me, questionforblue@gmail.com, you definitely want to go ahead and do that. Have lots of exciting things planned for you, shows coming up from myself and Esther and other special guests that's going to be joining us here live in the forum. And other special announcements. Also, want to let you guys know as we get ready to close out, you do want to send loving light energy, of course, to Brother Bobby Hemmett and his queen. Much love to them, always. And also let you guys know that we do have another ancestor that is joining us, and that is Bobby Blue Bland. Wait a minute. Maybe I got the name wrong. I believe that is who just made their transformation. And we also want to send a big shout out to Nelson Mandela as well, as he goes through his transforming time at this particular time. And then everyone out there that's just dealing with stuff, just remember to do it from the position that I do everything from, and it's a great position. You ought to try it. Love. Yeah, that's it. Love. And everything will be all right. So we're going to keep going. We're in the after hours, taking your questions at this particular time. And so, yeah, you got a question, Griffin or Brother Raghiva?
Well, for the both of you, because this is where I am. I've been listening to the expression of what Brother Raghiva said about being totally honest. And I remember something you said, Miss Blue, about if you love me, tell me the truth. Earlier this week, I've been thinking about, you know, being totally honest with my family with a lot of things about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that whenever I think about it, I literally just it's I just feel afraid to do it. So I feel responsible now, as if I have to tell the truth, especially after hearing you guys speak. But or what I should say.
Don't put that on. Don't put that on me. I'll let Brother Rob give an answer to that one.
Well, the thing about it is, I'm not putting on anyone, because how I feel now is that, okay, when I've been in situations where, like, even like, say, my brother is talking to me about certain things, I've never been honest. And the only thing I can say is, and I'll say it, and not to be in the position of a victim, but just to be honest, I'm afraid to say it. You understand? So I am saying to myself, how do I put myself in the position where I'm totally honest and not just telling the truth? Because a lot of times I'm very good with saying stuff, but keeping things concealed. But now it's this responsibility to say, you have to be honest if you want your life to work. So that's where I am. Because, I'm thinking about, hey, I'm dealing with my mom, I'm dealing with my bra. And I feel comfortable talking to you guys. I could tell you guys anything. But when it comes to them, I can't. So how do I put myself in that position?
That's always
scary.
Yeah, I know you because, in terms of coaching relationships, so I know exactly what you're referring to. But
honest with you. I mean, I give you hell with the time. I'm so sorry.
Wait, say it again.
I give you hell with punctuality. I'm one of those. Sure, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But, what you said was on point in terms of your life doesn't really work, or our life doesn't really work when we're not honest about our life.
Yeah.
If you're hiding your life, you can't live your life. So at some point, you come to a watershed where you have to make a decision about if I'm going to live my life or not. Because, like, now, without being honest, you're basically surviving. And it is painful. It's painful being in the survival mode when you want to live.
Okay.
And all of us really want to live, but we keep reducing the size of our life because we don't have the courage to be honest about where we are and who we are. You feel what I'm saying? And that is like, so, but no one can make a decision for you, and only you know where you are in that journey. Like, if you reach the point to where you can't take it no more and you're ready now to be honest. But at the same time, you have to be mindful of your environment, and based upon what you had told me about Jamaica and, what you're holding back, you still owe it to yourself to be able to be honest, even if you have to move to be honest. But if you're going to live your life, you can have to be honest at some point.
All right. I understand what you're saying, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Griffin.
Mama just told me
that. Here's what I'm going to say. You said that. You said that you feel that you can't live unless you're being honest with them. With your family.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. What I'm saying is I feel an extreme, or I feel a responsibility, to be honest with them. As what I'm learning, all the things I'm learning, I feel that it's important.
Okay. Well, let's do this. We're going to do a very live oracle session with Miss Blue, okay? And this is what I want you to do. This is really a multi-sensory exercise. I want you to envision in your mind, your body, and your spirit you telling your family what you want to tell them. Just sit with that for just a moment. So say it in your head as if you're saying it to them. Imagine them standing in front of you and say it in your head. All right? So what did you feel in your physical body? What was the feeling like?
Disappointment.
Disappointment? No, that's a word. So unless you can describe what your body shows you disappointment is, you ain't feel that. What did you feel?
Right.
Not what your mind told you. What did you feel?
I felt a wave of movement coming down from my throat, down into my chest. And I felt my heart is racing. That's what I feel.
Mhm. Mhm.
And I felt a moment of like a bit of lowness. That's the only way I can describe it. Like I just fell down into myself.
Mhm.
So that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what they're going to say if you decide, because ultimately this is going to be your choice and your decision to do. If you tell them, guess what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you, we already knew.
Okay.
Now how do you feel? They're going to say, is that what you're talking about, Griffin? Because you need to finish cleaning up that kitchen or get that room together, because we already knew that. You think we didn't know that for real? They're going to say, we already knew that.
Well, listen, Ms. Blue, a part of me is right there with you, especially when it comes to mom and my sister. But I'm thinking about my brother. He's scary as hell. Okay?
Your brother is scary as hell, and your brother going to tell you he already been knew that. That's one of the reasons he's so damn scary, because he does know. One of the things I want you to understand, because sometimes there is a misconception of people thinking that because I tell you that, let's say, for instance, oh, I don't want to tell my friends I love Godiva ice cream because they're going to start thinking something really bad about me because I like Godiva ice cream. Just because I tell them, they get a right to say, F you, Blue, we don't like Godiva. You do know they get that right, right?
Yes, I understand that they get to, yeah, because, yes, I do. I understand.
You understand that you telling them has little to do with them and all to do with you. So you are so built up in what you think they're going to tell you, which I'm already telling you, they already know. Your mama know, your sister know, and your damn brother Ben knew. So I'm trying to figure out who you fooling. Really, the person you're trying to tell yourself. You don't want to believe it.
I see what you're saying.
The person that's having a hard time accepting is you. You're having the hard time. Not them, because they know.
So let me ask a question, Ms. Blue.
Yes.
Why do I have a hard time with it? What is that? What's the reason for that?
Do you really want me to tell you why you're having a hard time with it? I mean, for real, Griffin? You really want me to tell you that? You know I will do it right here. I'll tell you.
Well, Miss Blue, I want to kind of, because why I'm saying that is really, I'm saying if that's the case, then, because really I'm thinking I'm just afraid of him, you know?
You're afraid of getting
that's
what?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm afraid of rejection.
You're afraid of rejection?
That probably I could deal with a bit, but you see, it's just like.
What's your brother going to do? Your brother going to beat you up? What are you going to do, beat you up? He already done did that, but what are you going to do to you? What is he going to do? Say you don't talk to
him?
Y'all barely talk now. What is he going to do?
Well, you know, he's that kind of person who, you know, he makes threats, you know, and he's very good at keeping them. So I don't take anything he says lightly. So, you know, he threatened me. I'm not taking
it. If your brother wanted to do something to you, Griffin, he would have been did it to you. Real.
Right.
Seriously? You scared of your scary brother?
Seriously, Miss Bloom. That's what I feel. I'm not fronting. I mean, I feel it when you say self-acceptance because I've heard the conversation.
Well, listen.
So,
you said your brother was scared. You said he was scary. So you scared of your scary brother? Your brother's scary. So why is he doing all of this? Because he's scary. He's scared. He's scared. You scared. We all scared. Stop it. Find the real reason that you don't want to acknowledge this. If you want to bring your family into your life, I think it's a very admirable thing to do. But at the end of the day, it ain't going to change nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not with them. Because this is your life. If it's something that you want to do for you, then make it about you and not make it about them. If you tell them, then that's just a part of you letting them into your world.
Okay, all right, I see that.
They're not going to plan a party for you and shoot clusters in the sky. That's not going to happen.
Definitely not looking for that. That's not what I'm looking for.
So what are you looking for? Because you done told me everything you ain't looking for. What are you looking for?
Well, as I said originally when I came on, I'm thinking that I have to be honest with them. You know, at total honesty.
Why do you feel you have to be honest with them?
I mean, the subject of what I'm dealing with tonight in terms of, okay, I've been, when certain questions are asked, I'm not saying, okay, this is what it is. It's more, it's not total truth. It's more like, okay, all right, I'm going out, but, you know, I'm going out with friends. Or, yeah, sure, it's friends, but it's not what I'm going out for. It's a date. That's different from saying, okay, I'm going out with friends versus I'm going out on a date.
Right.
So I'm thinking if I keep this kind of thing up, it's not good for me to keep having a situation
then
in my life where
then,
I have to.
Then there you go. Then what's the problem? Your scary brother, for real? You going to stop living your life to your scary brother? Griffin, your brother already knows. So does your mama. So does your sister. They know. That's all I got to say. Hands down, do what you feel you must do, but they already know. So all this scariness that you done built up in your mind, that's where it lives. Only in your mind. They already know.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. That clarifies a lot of things. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And thanks
they
for,
already know. So the choice is yours. If you want to tell them, you know.
Well,
but they already
I'll be honest, why I'm feeling like this is simply because I'm here sitting thinking the situation in my life where I have to keep on not being honest, basically lying.
Mm-hmm. Well, then go
so
tell
if
the
I
truth, because they already know. They already know, so go ahead. It'll be great confirmation for the whole family. And for
yeah,
you.
Well, if they are all right with it, then why sometimes they act like they're not all right with it, you know? That's my problem.
Oh.
Because I don't want a situation where there's
an
argument with people.
Listen,
in my face. And
Griffin, you think that brothers and sisters don't have arguments? You think that your family, the reason they're able to do all of this shit to you is because you're not being honest with yourself. Because somebody can't throw some shit in your face that you already know. How am I going to use something against you you already know? That's not a good argument. Well, you're black. Okay, and I know that. You're wearing pink shoes. Yes, I know that. There you have it. They already know. It's up to you if you want to do that. But all of these scary stories you've made up in your head is exactly where it is in your head. You want to tell your mother, you want to tell your sister, you want to tell your brother, tell them and be done with it. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're doing a circle jerk. And then you're going to use this and you'll be 55 years old and you'll be on somebody's show telling them, I should have told them 20 years ago, but I decided not to. And as a result, I never lived my life. So it's up to you. If it's important enough that it has moved you to the point that you feel you need to tell people this, your family, to be honest, to set yourself free, do it. But don't make up scary stories about shit that people already know. You cannot tell me that the boogeyman is real. That's all I have to say, because they already know.
Mm. All right, that's cool.
There you have it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's not what you wanted to hear, but, you know, hey.
No, it's not that. Not that, you know, Miss Bloom. The only thing I'm,
not,
you know, that's
I love you, Griffin. There is no only thing. When you say that, we go backwards, and we're not going backwards because we got other callers, but we love you, and let us know what you decide. Peace and love. Peace and love. All right. We're going to go on to the next caller calling in, it looks like, from area code. Ooh, I don't know where I left off. Area code 240, maybe? 240, you're live in the remix.
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Yes. Who's on the line, please?
This is Amanda from Maryland.
Okay, greetings, Amanda from Maryland. You have a question for Brother Raghiva.
Yeah, question is about, like, being a jack of all trades and how do you pick one thing, or how do you find something, and how would I find something and focus on it? Because a lot of the things that I would do, I tend to not complete them, so I'm always in, like, an incomplete state, unsatisfied state, and unmotivated state. So I guess I'm at that point in my life right now, so, and I just don't know what to do.
That's, you know, that's a very interesting thing, but I've you know, had, you know, a lot of my clients who've experienced having a multi-talented, able to do a whole bunch of things and not being clear about what to focus on first. And mm-hmm. one of the things I would say to you would be to really, you know, be able to sit with yourself and try to get in touch with what is really in your heart. Like, what does your heart want for you to do first? Or what's the center point of your heart in terms of what gives you the most joy when you do it? Because a lot of things we do out of survival. We've learned to do them out of survival. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up hard, and so we picked up on certain skills out of survival, and we think that's what we're here to do. But very few things that we develop out of survival are actually what we're here to do. It's things that we develop from the heart that we're really here to do, because we are wholehearted in doing it. So look at all those things that you do and ask yourself, in which one of those things do you do wholeheartedly? Do you put 100% of yourself into? And whichever one it is that you put 100% of yourself into, I want you to focus on it. Because you will find that there's probably only really one that you give 100% to. And when I say 100%, I mean undivided. When you're doing it, you do not split your attention. Excuse me?
Okay. How do I know that I have even done it before? You know, like...
Well, look at the things you say you're a jack of all trades, right? You said, so that means you're a whole bunch of things you're involved with now, right?
Right.
All right, so look at those things you're involved with now, because none of them may be what you're wholehearted about. Look at how you do it. Look at how you approach it. If you're not wholehearted about any one of them, then it's not any of those things. Because we do things out of survival, because we had no choice. We had to learn to do this, had to learn to do that, just to make ends meet, or just to, you know, get above water. But where our real thing is that thing in our life where we feel so passionate about giving 100% of ourselves to, so we are wholehearted in our action toward it, and it allows us to express more of ourselves than any other thing that we've ever done before. It's not something we have to force ourselves to do.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's what I run into. So I'm like, a lot of things are forced, and so it's like I make myself feel great about doing it, and it's just like you said, it's just all about surviving. Because I have the energy to go and the fortitude to go forward and do it and get it done, but at the end of the day, I'm like so unfulfilled, you know?
Right.
Still incomplete. Well, not fulfilled. Sorry.
And when you hit that thing that is your passion, your real thing, your real offering, you don't do it from that energy. There's not enough time in the day. Because you want to do it so much, and this is how you're going to know what it is. Because when you're doing it, you don't even pay attention to time. Time flies. Mm-hmm. It completely flies. It's like you look up and you're like, oh, man, I've been doing this for 8 hours? You have no recollection of time when you're really working on that thing that you're here to offer to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take you through some, you know, some things to do, like, you know, one of the things I help people to do to get clear on it is I get them to ask a question to the people around them. And the question I get them to ask is, what do you think I'm about? And I ask them to ask their family and friends that question, and then to write down the answers that their family and friends give to them, because your family and friends are going to give you a clue as to what your spirit, your natural self has been doing subconsciously, trying to do without you even knowing it. Because that's the impact you've been having on people, and that sort of gives you a clue as to what your offer really is, what your spirit is doing automatically without you being aware of it. So they will tell you, you know, I think you, or, you know, you uplift people, or, you know, you it gives, like I said, when you sit down and you put it together, you notice that there's a theme, that if you ask 10 people, there's going to be a theme that you hear, a common theme from just about all of them, which gives you the direction in which to start looking to find your offer.
I will do that.
Okay.
Awesome.
What you got, Ms. Blue?
Oh, well, I think that is great.
Everything that you told her, I think that is really, really great to do. And, you know, one of the things that I will add is that know that everything that you do is preparing you for what you will do. And,
right.
You know, that is, you can never go wrong on your purpose. I think a lot of times we're looking for sort of that one particular thing or just something that is just so life-changing and earth-shattering. And, you know, a lot of times our purpose is absolutely every single thing that we choose to engage our essence in. So anytime
yes.
that you are participating in anything, that is your purpose. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those quests will take you down a road that will keep you there for 2-3 years, and other times it may be for 20 minutes.
Mm.
You understand? You could not be living your purpose. And so really just enjoying life, understanding that it's all an experience. But I understand what you mean, because more than any other time on the planet, we have really been called as human beings to really connect with our divine spirit and to understand what our purpose is here on the planet. You know, what is that defining point that will sort of solidify the essence of who we are, not just in this present time, but I believe from past lives and even for some of us future lives of us coming to the planet and to doing our work and to see how that is connected. And when you start to talk about doing your purpose, it is, as Brother Raghiva says, it's something that you can begin to do. And you look at the clock, and next thing you know, you're trying to figure out where did 8 hours go, where to go, because you can't find it. You cannot find it. So, you know, it's a lot of ways that you can tap into that energy. I know for me, I do it through the Akashic Record readings. That really help people to see sort of where their path and their purpose is. Father Raghiva does it through his coaching program, really gives you a way to take a look at it. And in our own lives, we have to remember that we are purpose, that everyone came here for a purpose. And everything that you do, when you're engaging the essence of you there, when you're present, that is your purpose. And begin to look at it like that. And beyond all things, something that really moves you at the heart level and something you enjoy, something you love, you understand, it's going to be connected with your purpose. It's going to be connected with who you are and what you want to do. I don't think we explore enough as people, particularly when it comes to us as African people. I don't know if we explore ourselves enough. And so sometimes we lock ourselves into, we say it's not tradition, some of us who are not conscious, but we don't explore enough things to even know when we've really kind of brushed or come close to things that may be our purpose. I'll tell you for me, if you were to ask me, I would have never imagined in a trillion years that I would be doing readings, psychic readings. I would be talking to dead people, mediumship, reading people's auras, energy, hosting a radio show. Those things were so far away from me, but yet they were so close. Mm. I wouldn't have been able to guess that this is what I'm doing. And I say at this time, this is a part of my purpose, but so is everything else that I've done in my life. Being a mother, that's my purpose.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? The relationships that I have, the friendships I'm building, all of this is my purpose. So it's about defining sort of the essence of who you are. And this is why one of the greatest questions our ancestors have left for us is know thyself. See, because when you start to dig into the essence of who you are, and what we started to talk about here tonight, and one of the things that the core foundation of the remix is built on, and discovering that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
Wow.
You understand that you are perfect and divine exactly how you are. And if you could just sort of kind of touch an essence of who you really are, then you would know that for sure. And then that quest for what you call a purpose, it could be something as simple as helping a neighbor or as spending time maybe with yourself, you know, just relaxing. All of these things will become very important to you. And you will see the interconnection between everything in your life. So you're going to understand that job that you hated, why you did it. Oh, because I needed this skill so that when I get here, I would eventually be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things will become your purpose. But that calling, that yearning, that's the way that you know that you're alive. That's the divine way that spirit lets you know that you're alive. Because you know that there is something. But always remember that that something is not anything that you can see outside of yourself.
Right.
Those things are within. So start to look at those essence of yourself, you know. What makes you, what tickles you to death? You know, what just cracks you up? I don't care. You could be mad as hell, but what just makes you laugh? When you start getting into the essence of who you are, that vibration is going to open you up so that you can see what direction you want to move in. And it's not going to be clear. I know I can speak for myself, and Brother Rob Giver can tell you, if that's not always a clear picture. Because like
no.
I said, if somebody would have told, matter of fact, Brother Bobby Hymn at first told me years and years ago about me doing readings, I kind of laughed at it and thought, okay, this is just something you telling me because I don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You didn't see it, you see? So be in love with the essence of you as you're moving through the process. And I think sometimes we beat ourselves up because we don't know, you know? And really, in the mystery is the only place you can learn. It's no fun when you already know the answer.
And give up comparing. Yeah. Don't compare your life. Don't compare. Because that's why, you know, that's why there's so much pressure on people
yeah.
to this idea of finding their purpose, because they are comparing and they won't accept that your life itself is its purpose. You are your purpose.
Yeah.
And just like Ms. Blue said, you could be, you know, working at McDonald's as a manager. Next year you're doing something else and you work your way all the way up to something else. Every step along the way was
That's
your purpose because
right.
it was you. You got to make sure
it
that you put your, whatever you, what you're really looking for is that thing that you could put 100% of yourself into, but know that there's really, it's really not going to be one thing that you could put your 100% of yourself into. Because you really that much of yourself there is. So it's a whole bunch of things, like just waking up in the mornings, you know, if you have children, spending time with your children, all that is a part of it, and learning to be present to it all. But it can't happen if you compare your life to other people's life.
Even amidst in the struggle, even
yes.
you can't pay your bills.
Oh, and definitely in the struggle. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
We could talk all day about that. Woo.
Yeah.
We could talk all day about that. But definitely when you're in the struggle. Definitely when you're there, because there's so much essence and lesson to be learned from it. And it's only a struggle if you label it that.
Yes.
You know? That's like saying your house is on fire after the fire people done came and put it out. 3 years later, you're still saying, woo, the house on fire. No, it's not. It's done burnt down. The fire's over.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You see? So that's the time that you really can get into the essence of who you are. You know, it's the easiest time because it's really a part of you that is really allowed to see exactly what's going on, how you're feeling, your emotions, those things, all of those things play a very big part in that. And if you know, you know, this is something me and Brother Bilal teach in the Kim Business class, that everything is in your favor. It's hard to see that at times. I'm not going to tell you it's always easy, but if you really know that, then you'll find it. Because we always find what we're looking for. Everybody does. You're looking for a struggle, you're going to find a struggle. Trust and believe you're going to find it.
Plenty of it.
It's going to always be there for you. So, yeah. Yeah. So enjoy. I know this has been a difficult time for you right now, and you kind of with the fog veil, and you really can't see. But this is when you trust your heart and not your mind, because the mind doesn't figure out problems. It doesn't. It only reacts off of past patterns. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, most of us haven't done a good job with that. So trust your heart.
Even with people circling in and out as well, or is that?
Oh, yeah, you got to trust your heart. Then, hell, you don't have anything else to trust. Can't trust they ass.
Mm-hmm.
Got to trust your heart. Yeah. Very difficult. Very difficult to lose loved people or have people who you love and you care about and to see those relationships change right before your eyes. When you've given your all or you've, you know, been the best that you can be. It's very hurtful. It is. Allow yourself to feel the pain and then begin to just open yourself up from there. You know that it's not going to stay that way forever. And that's what you do. Learn what you needed to take from it. Take the good and know that you're going to continue to keep moving. That's it.
Choices, choices. All righty.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
You.
I wish peace and love to you. And hold the line. Brother Ra, give out, I'm going to have you give out your information one more time as we get ready to close out here this evening. Brother Ra, give up. Oh, I guess Brother Ra, give up is not on the phone line, or we can't hear him. So we're going to give out Brother Ra, give us information here, and that's going to be Brother Ra, give up. You can reach him, find out about his coaching program at fatherragiva@gmail.com. You can also call him at 1-877-229-8880 to get in contact with him tonight. Thought processes of the secret mind. It's been a great share. A lot of coaching going on here tonight, you guys. A lot of you are still on the phone lines. We're going to get ready to close out. It's Sunday night. Don't forget the Kim orders go in tonight. So get your orders in there if you haven't already. And look forward to hearing what you guys all have to say about the show. If you like it, you know what to do. You know, like it here, like it on Facebook, like it on iTunes, like it all over the world. And if you love it, I want you to love it as well, too. And take yourself over to Facebook and love it over there on Facebook. It's been a great share here tonight. We've learned a lot of lessons from each other, and that's what it's all about. It's about sharing, learning, loving, growing with each other. Don't worry. We'll be back to talk more about this and just share with each other. So keep loving each other. Keep, you know, really, really coming from that place of love and in your heart and being authentic and treating those people close to you the best. I love you guys from me, Miss Blue, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week on Friday night. So peace and love, everyone. Much love, warm spirit. Peace and love.